can't believe the things I see. The path that I have chosen now has led me to a wall. And with each passing day, I feel a little more like something dear was lost. It rises now before me, a dark and silent barrier. Past beyond is what I seek. I fear that I may be too weak, and those of you who've seen it through to glimpse the other side. The promised land is waiting, like a maiden that is soon to be a bride. The moment is a masterpiece. The weight of indecision in the
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, April 27, 2020. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern to midnight. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you could send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save America. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to read the second chapter of Romans, We'll pick up on that now. All right, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. This is Romans chapter 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same thing, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness, an impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render every man according to his deed. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. These having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day that God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and resistest in the law, and makest thou boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them that are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hath the form of knowledge and of truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, doest thou steal? Thou that sayest to a man should not commit adultery, do thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, do thou commit sacrilege? Thou that maketh thy boast of the law, through breaking of the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision truly profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore the uncircumcision keepeth the righteousness of the law. Shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doest transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not in men, but of God. Romans chapter 2. Okay. I don't particularly have a subject for tonight. Maybe we'll first go to see if there's any questions out there first, and maybe we'll give some updates. Jan?
Okay. Yes, we have a number of questions tonight, John. Let me pull them up the list. First question. Considering this current panic over the coronavirus, there are many violations of people's liberty. A man from New Jersey was arrested because he was sitting on the beach by himself. People are being arrested for gathering in a crowd. Ministers are being arrested for trying to hold church on Sundays. New Jersey Governor Murphy actually admitted he did not consider the First Amendment when he created these edicts. How can the NLA get involved to prosecute these government dictators?
Well, you know, we'd have to have someone, either the individual that's being assaulted, violated, denying their rights to do what they please, ultimately, as long as they don't injure anyone. we would need someone on the ground there or them themselves to give us a call. So someone would have to contact them, and they would have to contact us, and then we would look into it, and we pursue indictments if necessary. We would definitely file some papers in whatever court he would be in, and the focus of the indictment really should be towards the governor if it's a governor's order. So, but also the courts, if they don't be obedient to the law of the land, which they ignore, but we'll remind them of it. They think that they're under civil law, and that's the problem, of course. So again, someone would have to contact us and give us an affidavit for us to look into it. Okay, what else you got, Jen? Did we lose you, Jen, or did I get lost?
I can't hear what you said, John. Maybe it's me.
Yeah, you're coming in pretty bad to me, too. Is anybody else hearing me okay, or are they hearing Jen okay, or what are they hearing out there?
Jen was a little scratchy, and you're overdriving your mic again. It's like it has no relationship to the test that we started at first.
I hear John fine, and Jan is like back in on Mars somewhere and back and forth. That's my take.
Yeah, I'm hearing Jan is bad, but I'm not hearing anyone else is bad.
See, you sound fine to me, John. You're wall to wall. You're not too. I don't know. I don't see. He's not overdriving on my end here.
Anybody else give us their experience here? Yeah, I'm going to complain again. You know, they advertise HD. High definition, and I'm not seeing it. Anybody else pipe in out there to let us know what we sound like? Will, I see you're in here, or who else? Francine?
You sound better, John, to me now than you did, so maybe it's mine.
Yeah, well, you definitely have a problem on your end. There's no doubt, at least that's what I'm hearing anyway. So.
He sounds like he's got a cold.
Yeah. That would be easy to
fix. All right, well, we'll move on.
COVID, Mike. No. Anyway.
All right, any other questions?
Yes. Is there a tutorial on your site on how to start a common law court in my town? I think it's about time I get the ball rolling.
Absolutely. Come to National Liberty Alliance and he learned how to do it. You got to connect with Jen. Jen will connect you with the right people. We'll tap you into a district leader if there's no district leader in your area, which I think we're going to have district leaders in all areas. We'll have to see what Francine's been working on, trying to get people to fill these positions. We have 10 district leaders. Each one of those district leaders are there to lead the states, to help them to organize their counties ultimately. So the state leaders would be coordinators. So we need people on all levels, of course. And even the district leaders should be working in their counties. They should be opening up the process or working with others to get the process open if someone's already started it. Same thing with the state coordinators. The state coordinators need to be working with the district leaders, but very closely working with the county organizers. The county organizers are responsible to gather people together, get some meetings going, and start working the process of the grassroots to teach the people how to have government by consent. And that's where it starts. It starts with an education. You can't just call 25 people up to get a grand jury going. It's not going to work very well or go over with these people to begin with. And it could be a wrongdoing if you're not pursuing this and proceeding in a proper way, a lawful way, a righteous way, a just way. And that's what we're teaching here at National Liberty Alliance. So we have the courses to teach all that. We're working on a book right now, literally it's being written, a handbook for administrators for the grand jury to work within the counties. And, of course, we're working to develop all the counties to get organized and going, not only to get the grand jury up and running. We need administrators for the jury, people to be able to take control of calling forth the jurists, whether they're grand jurists or petit juries, within your counties. And we're also working to rebuild the militia from the ground up. Existing militias may join us and assist us and assist really the counties, because we're not going to get involved in any kind of things that the militias do or what anybody does at the county level. We're not going to get involved at all. But we need to train those people, and that's our involvement, is to train the people and to empower them how to do these things. Also the committee man, which is probably at this point in time one of the most important positions to get going, because we can take back the political process, we can throw out both parties. But of course we can't do that until we take back the courts, but we need to be preparing. We're in the process of taking back the courts. From talking to Gerard earlier, which I know he's going to talk about this, you know, what's going on. I'm not going to get into it all because I'm not really up on it. Gerard will be talking about it. But I can tell you that there are some people out there, you know, the train is running and the switch has been pulled, you know, the button has been pulled and the train is going full speed. And even if they put on the brakes, it's not going to stop till it crashes. And I think that's where we're at. But we have to take back this whole system. So, yes, if you want to get a grand jury in your county, it starts with working together with like-minded people in your county to organize the administrations for these grand juries as we prepare to take back the federal courts, which will give us the ability to take back all state courts and require that the people take control of their own juries, because right now the fox has been in control of the hen house, so to speak, and we have to take it away from them. And so we will teach you everything you need to know to do that. And bear in mind, it's going to take a couple of months to go through these courses. We've got three courses up there. The most important one to take is the government by consent course. That's the most in-depth. The civics course is very important, of course, and I think that should be secondary, because that does touch a lot of things. It gets into history and our heritage. It gets into a lot of things, even touches common law and the court system to some degree, and the Constitution in a little way. But it is the government by consent course that gets into the deeper part of things. Civics course needs to be taken. You know, look at it. If you were going to school, you know, you would do 45 minutes of one course and 45 minutes of another course, and the next day do the same thing and repeat it. And maybe that's the good way to do it, is to do both of them back and forth. And also there's the militia course. The militia course is a reasonably short course, but it takes some time. So you could do three courses at the same time and get them done. And people need to be thinking about doing something like that, because we do need people on the grassroots level who understand not only what's going on, but how to take back this whole process, how to have government by consent, how to take control before someone else grabs control of it again. We, the people, need to do this. And that's the purpose of National Liberty Alliance, is to inform and educate, to provide a place where people can come together, organize, communicate, and educate themselves, and be able to stand up, become mature enough in these things to be able to take control of what goes on in our, not only our counties, but our states, and our nation. We, the people, must take control. And of course, we're here because the people have not taken control. And that, of course, is the big problem. So, again, that person should call Jan. You can find him under the directory. He's got his email up there and his phone number, and he will connect you with the proper people within your state, you know, probably in a district level and then into your state level, and we'll try to help you organize your area as you're educating yourself, and let's take back these this whole system. But education must first, that's where we have to start. You can't just jump up and call for a grand jury. No one's going to believe that it has any authority anyway. They can ignore us all they want, but we have a record of what we're doing, and we have proof of their tyranny, and we have plenty of founding documents that make it clear that we, the people, have the power and the authority to take things down and rebuild it. We can pull everyone out of office and replace them. If the people want to do that, that's what we can do. But there has to be enough of us stepping up to do that. And, of course, we can get rid of anyone that we need to get rid of that is breaking the law, particularly judges, through indictments. And that's the process we're working on. We are indicting judges. We've probably indicted, I'd say, 60 or more judges. I need to go do a count, actually. It's written up on the paperwork under our grand jury, as a matter of fact. If you go to the grand jury, action against the grand jury, onto that page, you can see the last paper that we filed, which was a writ quo warranto. It's a review of the record, okay? So the last paper we filed a writ quo warranto against the IRS. Who do we file the writ quo warranto against? So much going on. Let me see, open that one up too. I think it was directly against the Supreme Court. But this was... let me lay this one aside.
It was the IRS, too. You had both.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This was focused in on the IRS. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yes. This was an IRS thing. Right. We attached a lot of sworn statements to this. But the one that we want to look at right now is recapping the record. It's an extraordinary action and an order. And it kind of brings the whole case together and lays out what we have done and the proof that we have. And I just want to go through this real quickly since we're thinking and talking a little bit about this. We list out everything that they're particularly doing, and they're doing a lot more than that, particularly, again, the United States Supreme Court and the 94 federal district courts. They are the ones responsible for all this. They are the ones that must. They must. There's no way to save this nation without these judges stepping up and doing the right thing or resigning, or we will indict them. And until we get recognized, which a matter of time they will have to recognize us, we are the only true organic common law grand jury that I'm aware of. Now, here's the evidence coming up, okay? And we laid out a lot of information on this evidence, okay? We did lots of writs and informations that we have filed, and we can see no response all the way down. They did not respond. We have filed redress of grievances, numerous redress of grievances we filed. Again, no response. This is a track record. This proves conspiracy. This doesn't just go to one judge. This goes to all of them, and none of them respond. Some of them have sent their papers back. We got a box or so of those papers. We'll deal with that in another time. But again, no responses. We did a declaration for the restoration order on August 17th. In the court of record, we filed lots of papers. We laid out a lot of papers. And this was, I believe, on the, lots of things going on this one. This also brings in the case we have up here in New York with the Second Amendment, where, again, they ignored that case. They threw us out under, what was that called? Rule 12, I think it's called. We had many memorandums of law. They responded to none of them. We've got lots of evidence that we've laid out, okay? Again, no response to the information we've given them. We've sent in amicus curies all across this nation. No response from the originating court all the way through the whole process. This is conspiracy. This is a denial of due process. They don't even answer you, okay? And they have a duty to speak. And when one has a duty to speak and they fail to do so, that's called fraud. We did lots of habeas corpuses. We had one or two successes, but generally speaking, they've been ignored. And we understand that one of our successes may possibly be going back into the lion's den, and we're going to have to do something about that. Gerard and I will be talking about that tomorrow. We filed many, many non-judicial foreclosure papers. We did amicus curiae. We moved their cases into our court. We're going through a process of giving them some time to show cause, a final 30 days, and then we're putting out the decisions in order, and then we're going out with more indictments. But this is all the ones that we've done so far, and all of these cases, all of these courts, the original courts, no response, nothing, silence. This is not a coincidence that one or two judges here or there. This is every single judge in America, whether it's in the city courts, the town courts, the county courts, the state courts, the federal courts. They're all doing the same thing. They're all operating under Rule 2 and the Federal Rule 2, which has turned our law to civil law, which is a violation and a denial of due process, a denial of our Constitution, a denial of everything we are as a people, a denial of your heritage. And anybody who doesn't step up right now and get involved in their county, woe is you. I mean, we have to do something. Woe is us if we do not do this thing. We then went and started indictments, and this is just the beginning of our indictments. These are our federal judges that we've indicted right here. There's a whole slew of them. I should count them. I don't even know how many there are. Then we indicted a whole bunch of state judges, okay? These guys, they just don't care about nothing but themselves. They don't care about justice. They all need to go, okay? They, we need to clean house. Only the people can do this. Nobody else can do this. We, the people, can do this. And this is the process that we're going through, the National Liberty Alliance, the springboard, using, of course, coming through the grand jury, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, which is the only, again, I'll mention this again, the only known common law grand jury that's in session at the moment. And we are grassroots. We're not just here in New York. We are literally every single state of the union. We have organized every single state of the union. We have an address for every single state. We have an address for Arizona, the Unified State Grand Jury, Missouri, the Unified State Grand Jury, Montana, Washington, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Long Island, Texas. We, every single state of the union, we not only have an address, we also have a seal for each one of them. And all of those grand juries have come together with the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, which right now is the only jury in session, but preparing to work with the state juries. But we had to come together and organize that way. We're not just a couple of people in some corner of New York State doing this. We are the people. We have over 8,500 members at this point in time, and we need to get more. We need people to tell people to get involved. We need everyone to get out there, organize their counties, and get involved like that individual who's interested in opening a grand jury. Well, let's get going. Let's open them up on the grassroots level. Now, of course, you can't open them up right this minute, but you have to prepare for it. And it may take 3 months or so, 4 months to organize and get enough people together and to organize getting a grand jury opening up in your county once you understand how this works. And hopefully by then, and I think before this year is out, we will have won our court case, and we will empower the people on the state level to take over the necessary concerns and to orientate the juries, the grand jury and the trial juries. We, the people, must do this. We cannot allow government to do this no more. They've proven they're not worthy of it. They've proven that they've only gotten corrupt. We've also got other things. We've got a murder conspiracy indictment, which was Lavoy Finnegan. We've got a 24-page indictment, and these are the people that Hillary Clinton was on the top of his list. But these are the people involved in that murder. Every single one of them had their hand in this murder, and we did an indictment on them. We filed this indictment. We served it on the Justice Department, and we served it to the president. We've, of course, put it into our court case. We notified the United States Supreme Court on this and all 94 federal district courts, and we hear birds. That's what we hear, birds or crickets, I guess is better. So anyway, this is a paper that we filed to do these things, and this clearly lays out the whole process. And let me just read the first paragraph of this because it sums up what this paper is really all about. Okay, I think it's very important. Actually, two paragraphs. comes now the above-entitled court of record to review the record. This is our closing statement, after which the court is adjourned. So we adjourn the court until after the draining of the swamp and the enemies of liberty are brought to justice. And we believe it's going to be a hot summer, and this is what's happening, we believe, right now. At which time we will make an assessment, remove the olive branch, and summarily determine the facts and reiterate the matter as law and justice require. Meanwhile, we will continue to file joinders, habeas corpuses, and indictments of federal and state judges that ignore due process. We, the people, have declared that prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and according to all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object reveals a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such tyrannical gods and to provide new gods for their future security. So that's the lead-in paragraphs for this particular paper, which was the last paper we filed. And again, we did file that combined at the same time with a written cor wanto concerning the IRS. I think we may do something, a very, very simple 2 or 3 pages, a writ cor wanto to the Bar Association, which we did drag them into these cases, and they have received some of the papers work that we've sent in. But I think we have to do a writ cor wanto directly to them and command them and to lay out what they have done, the damages they have done. Okay, they are the ones responsible for Rule 2. They are the ones that are responsible for turning our law from the law of the land to civil law. They are responsible for teaching all these lawyers, all these minions of the New World Order throughout the entire United States that is maintaining this New World Order process, bringing us into prison, into a statutory prison. But really, they're looking for concentration camps where there's only a door in. There is no exit from that place. But they are the ones responsible for this. They are the ones that continue to teach and preach to these judges who are bar judges who learnt in bar courts, bar schools, and all these prosecutors and lawyers that learnt in bar schools. They're the ones that are responsible for teaching these people that the common law has been abrogated. I mean, we have judges, chief judges down in New York City, the ones that control this entire state. One of the most powerful judges told us the common law has been abrogated. They literally used those words. I believe they did it in writing. Didn't they do that in writing, Gerard? I think we have that in writing. The common law has been abrogated. So what replaced it? Right on the United States Supreme Court's page, it tells you it's been replaced with civil law. They have taken equity, and they have taken the law. Law is common law. Any time you hear the word law, unless it's positive law, which is legislative law, the law is the law of the land, which law is common law. Okay? They have taken common law, and they have taken equity. And they claim to have combined it, but now they renamed it and they call it civil law. And they apply statutes against the people. And the people are so ignorant. Their knowledge is so ignorant to this. I speak to myself first, but our knowledge was so ignorant to this that we actually believe that's the law that our founding fathers brought us into. It sounds logical, but it's nothing but destructive. It's controlling. It's the law of the city. It's Babylonian law. It's the law of the devil, ultimately. These people just want to maintain control. So we, the people, have to take this back. We have been writing papers. We've been working diligently for many years doing this, organizing, putting all this stuff together, communicating, educating, and bringing this education to the people. We're ready now to do what has to be done. It is close. It's time for everybody to step up to the plate. Everybody, if you're not involved, get involved. You must get involved. Don't leave your country hanging. You know, what was it Kennedy said? Ask not what your country can do, but what you can do for your country. because it's not going to be your country very much longer. I don't care that Trump's there. That doesn't, that, yeah, he's done a great job, and we're not going to be able to do what we have to do without him. He is the spearhead of this whole thing. He is the answer to a prayer. He is the type of Osiris. He's taken these SOBs down. But now it's our job to take it back. And if we don't, then the wrath of God will definitely be upon us. Okay, any other questions?
Yes, John, we have several more. The next one pertains to notice of foreclosure. In this notice of foreclosure, the DCCF, and what that stands for, I'm not sure, it's not defined, states that they will take the deed of the property unless the past taxes are paid by May 29th, 2020. What are our defenses against illegal seizure of property without due process?
Well, first of all, that whole thing takes a while. So bear in mind, it may not be as bad as you think it is at the moment, okay, because they're trying to take your property. Unless they've been working at this for a long time and they've gone through all the process. Because as they're doing this unlawful, foreclosure, and it is a non-judicial foreclosure is what it is. It doesn't matter that it's in a court. It's really a non-judicial foreclosure. At the end of the day, you will not see a judge's signature on it. And that's the key point to this whole thing. Now, there are some judges that are stupid enough or foolish enough to put their signature on it. Well, that's fine. Then they made it a judicial foreclosure. First of all, they didn't have the power or the authority to do that because they're not courts of record. Only a court of record can fine or incarcerate or take a property. Your property cannot be taken from you from a court that's a civil law court. The other thing is that they do these non-judicial foreclosures because they really don't have the true paperwork in order to take it back. There really was no true loan applied to this. Or if it's taxes, the taxes, of course, are unlawful. That's even worse case than what's going on with, at least with the loans. So that's even more evil. And they go out after a process called in rem to seize your property without notification. Well, they do make the notification, but without going through due process in a court of law. So you're not in a court of law. The only solution that I'm aware of, I mean, you could battle it if you have some knowledge, and you might be able to win it. You could move it into federal court for violating your right of due process and also for trying to steal your property. There's numerous things you can put into that, and you can have them cease and desist from going that way. But you have to have knowledge. I don't want to send anybody into the federal courts. If they don't really have knowledge, they're going to get eaten up. You have to have been studying a lot of the stuff we've been putting out. And goodness, I'll tell you what. If you study, or if you took all of our courses and diligently went through all of our papers that we have written, you will be highly, highly educated, far beyond any of these quote-unquote constitutional bar attorneys. Far and far beyond. And let me tell you, most of these attorneys are morons. They can't respond to anything that you bring up. They're totally found dumb in a courtroom. There's nothing they could do or say that can really come up against you. They don't even know what you're talking about half the time. And they're so surprised by the things you bring up, they're scratching their head wondering it's even true what you're saying, because they're so far removed from the true law of this land, from our founding fathers, their words, and our heritage and who we are as a people. They're so far removed from all that. It's like speaking a foreign language to them. But we are doing assistance for non-judicial foreclosures. That's one of the things we are doing. So you can get a hold of Jim at intake@nationallibertyalliance.org. You can get more information. And if you want us to do an amicus curiae, we'll do an amicus curiae, which is a paper on behalf of someone in the court. In this case, it would be on the defendant, because you're being brought in as a defendant. And so we would take on that from that position. They will ignore it, and then we'll move your case into our case for cause. It'll be added to the case that we just went through. We're still adding cases in. And once that case is added in, we give them so many days to respond. Then we put out an order, and the order is for the other courts to cease and desist, to return the individual back to their former state, and $1,000 face value in real money. That's 1,000 Morgan Silver dollars. And and the case is to cease and desist. Now, they are not responding properly to any of this right now, but that's not that important at the moment, really, because really these cases come together. At some point, it's going to break through. We're hammering the truth on the doors of these courts, particularly the United States Supreme Court. We're taking it. We're in the United States Supreme Court and been in there for quite some time now, and we've been given orders there. They have been ignoring them, but the point is they can only ignore so long. They will ignore if they're stuck between a rock and a hard place and they got a gun to their head. They may have no choice but to ignore us. That's why we still have the olive branch out there. But once the deep state is down, no more excuses. The olive branch goes. They are going to do the right thing, or we're coming out after them. And our judgments will be heard and will be executed properly at some point in time. If you really listen close to a lot of the things the president says and the people around him, they can't walk away from what we are doing, because they're telling the people to do exactly what we are doing. He is sending, Trump says he was elected president to take the power away and give it back to the people. Well, here we are. He knows it, and we know it. Everyone here should know that. We have been copying the president since he was running for president. And so we trust that all our papers have been getting to him. And also to Barr and before him, Sessions, and to the United States Supreme Court, who is now in jeopardy. And, I want to throw this out every so often, because people really need to be thinking about this. We are considering indicting the United States Supreme Court justices. We have to consider that, unless you want to just give up your country to them, because they're the ones who stole it away from you. Jefferson told us that this would happen. It would be the judges that would take our nation. Washington said it would be the party. They were both right. The parties have seized control of the whole process, taken it away from the people, the political process, and the judges have seized control of the judicial process, the two powers of this nation. If you control the courts and you control the political process, which is the way it should be, the people should have control of those. Our founding fathers set it up that way. But we're not doing anything to take control of it. That's what we're teaching. And if you take control of those two places, we control our entire government. They do nothing outside of our will. If the people don't like it, we don't have to go to the streets. We exercise the powers and the authorities that we have. And we stop it right there and then. Learn how to do this. This is what we have discovered. Okay? It's the judicial process controlled by the grand juries and the trial juries, who must be untainted and must be prepared for and brought together by the people and not by the fox in charge of the hen house, and not by the prosecutor in charge of the hen house. It must be by we the people. That's why we're setting up 4 administrators in every county across this nation, a paid position. It's a position that will be paid, and it's a position that becomes a career position. You can retire in probably a very, very rewarding job, straightening out government and keeping them straight, getting rid of all these criminals, these frauds, okay? And on the other side of things is taking back the political process through the committee man process. Very simple thing, but you know what? That's what you have to do. And if you think the other guy is doing it, I'm here to tell you he's not. You need to do it. He's not doing. Nobody's doing it in your county except you. You need to do it. So that's what we're doing here, and this is how you're going to save the nation. And this is the answer to that person who asked that question. You need to take it all back. You can't have a piece of it back. You've got to take it all. We can't have half a law. We want our whole law. You can't have half a right. We want our whole rights. So if you want just a part of it, or whatever they feel that they want to give you at this point in time, then go someplace else. You don't need to be with us, because that's not what we're not interested in. That we are interested in liberty at its fullest extent. And if you listen to Barr, and if you know we've got some things up on Barr, people really need to go up to listen to this. If you haven't listened to this, let me see where I think it's under. Did I put it under Q? It might be under Q. Let's see. Barr has spoken at numerous places. Powerful, powerful speeches. If you haven't watched the videos on this page, you should. Q, the plan to save the world. You know, here President Trump delivers his mock remarks. Powerful, powerful stuff. The plan to save the world and so on. By the way, I just put this one up. This is a very interesting video here. Let's see. Is he on this one? Or maybe he's on news. No, maybe he's on news. Hang on a second. Let's try today's news, maybe Trump in the news. Yvonne. Here it is. U.S. Attorney General William Barr at the NRB convention. Powerful, powerful message. If you haven't heard this message, you need to go listen to him. If you want to know if they're thinking what we're thinking, go listen to this. Especially, there's another one down here. It's even more powerful than that. By the way, this is a funny video. I might want to play that. I don't know if everybody's seen that video. There's another one in here for Barr. Here it is, okay? Barr speaks at the Federal Society of National Lawyers Convention. Wow. Blow you away, okay? If you don't know whether he thinks the way we're thinking about liberty, about the Constitution, you need to go listen to this. And remember, you know, Trump chose this guy. Listen, and we know Trump, look at it, Trump's inauguration speech. That tells everything on who this guy is and what his plans are. He laid it all out. He thinks just like we think. He wants what we want, and that's liberty, okay? All of these videos on these pages really, you should go through. If you haven't seen these videos, you really need to see them because this lays everything out that's been going on for quite some time. So I'll leave that be. But in any event, any other questions?
Yes. Can a court block me from filing more paperwork in the court by deeming me a vexatious litigant?
Well, they love to do that, don't they? They've done that to me already, but I'm back in again anyway, and I don't care. But we are in on their sandbox. We've got to make sure we bring it into our sandbox. We have to make it clear to the judge. By the way, judge, did you know, on and for the record, this is a court of record, so that the court understands what a court of record. Let me read what a court of record is and read what a court of record talks about common law. So this is a common law procedure. I want to make sure that all of the people in this court understand that this is a common law procedure, and it's under the rules of the common law and not the rules of whatever procedure, federal procedure rules or not the rules of the state, whatever state you're in, the rules of the court. And some courts have their own rules that they add into that. Go figure that out, you know. And that's where you'll have to start. And that's an uphill battle all the way just to get your proper court. And you're never going to really get your proper court. The only way you're going to get your proper court is to work with National Liberty Alliance to take the courts back so that all courts are proper and just and righteous. All courts are just and righteous. But they will never, ever, 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 ever be just and righteous until the people step up and take it back. So if you're not involved on your grassroots level, if you're not working with someone or trying to work to get other people together to start to get things going on your grassroots level, well, then maybe we don't deserve liberty. Next question.
The question I have relates to the validation of filings of papers against defendants. While I understand the need for privacy in many cases, is it possible to attain confirmation that charges are being filed that an individual may use that to ameliorate the negative effects of the actions that these criminals have had on our lives? In my case, it's a felony record that is creating great difficulty in leasing an apartment. Since some of the members now have their decision in order from an LA grand jury, what should be the next plan of action? I guess that's a separate question. Okay.
That's a separate question. Okay. Yeah, well, again, I'm not too sure I understand the question well enough to be able to respond. Can you read the first part of it again? without the second thought.
Okay. The question I have relates to the validation of filing of papers against defendants. Well, I understand the need for...
Okay, so, but what defendants? Is he in court and he wants to turn them into defendants, or does he say?
He does not say.
All right, go ahead, continue. Maybe I can pick something else up.
Well, I understand the need for privacy in many cases. Is it possible to obtain confirmation that charges are being filed that an individual may use to ameliorate the negative effects of the actions that these criminals have had on our lives? In my case, it's a felony record that is creating great difficulty in leasing an apartment.
Okay, so the individual, sounds like the individual has been convicted unrighteously in a court not of law, in a civil law court, and is now considered a felon and having some problems to get through things, and now he wants to go back and deal with the problem. I think that's what they're saying. Is that what you're getting at, Liz?
I think that's what he means.
Yeah. And look, it's an uphill battle, number one. What I would say, let me think about this. You know what? Why don't we do this? We're doing affidavits, which we're still open for affidavits. Anybody that's got an IRS problem and wants to attach it to our IRS paper, which we read last week, I believe, and anybody who wasn't here for last week can go back to our what do you call it, weekly call, and you can download the last week's call and hear, you know, what took place on that call. We spoke about the IRS right here. We spoke about the IRS writ quo warranto that we served on to the court last, what was it? I think it was April 6th, thereabouts. We sent that in also with the recapping of our case. Now, we are still taking anybody who wants to attach their case concerning the IRS. Let's say, and if you're being, even if you're being, you know, badgered by the IRS through letter writing, you're really going through their court system. That's part of their administrative process to pull you in. And if you're not careful dealing back with these people and answering them I answer them in affidavit form. My letters are affidavits to them. Every one of them is a sworn statement affidavit going back to them, asking them questions and laying out the whole process. They don't even answer you back. They don't answer one question. They move you to the next step. Well, if you're going through all of that, okay, and all the way through to if you're in IRS court or going into the IRS court, you want to attach your affidavit to our case, you can bring it in, and then you will benefit also at the end results of what it is that we're looking for. Every person at the end of this day that's being assaulted by these people, you know, we do have a sort of a wherefore clause in the decision, which will be $1,000 in Morgan Silver dollars. That's a lot of money, by the way. What is it going for? $24 a piece, you know, and they're going to be valued 10 times that amount once the economy straightens out. But in any event, that's what we're pursuing at this moment, and the ceasing and desisting of their actions. We lay out the fraud. The entire fraud is laid out. If you haven't heard, if you've got an IRS problem, then you haven't heard it, go back to that program last week. And listen, we read the paper through. You can go up and read the paper. Matter of fact, you should read the paper while you're listening to the program. But you can go up to under grand jury, action against the judiciary, click on that. And you'll come down a couple of lines here. Here's the IRS writ quo warranto, okay, and you can read through it. It's 14 pages. Powerful, 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 powerful stuff. No one is above the law. They seem to think they are. Everything they're doing is nothing but treason. Title U.S. 26 is not the law. The 16th Amendment does not authorize a tax on salary. The IRS has no enforcement over the people for failure to file. None whatsoever. Zip. The whole thing is a fraud. The IRS has no authority to ask the people for information. Zip. Zero. None. And we, the people, can refuse to produce records to the IRS agents. And the Fifth Amendment will protect us. But the Fifth Amendment says IRS cannot seize the property. Now, I know that they ignore all this, but bear in mind, there's one thing I have discovered. these people, you know, they go very carefully and slowly. They don't get you here. There's something you missed. They get you there. Then they feel confident in a place where they can hang their hat and they come out and get you. So you have to be real careful. You have to read every sentence that they say to you, every word and every sentence. And you need to really understand what they're saying, what they're meaning. They are trying to get you to A, acquiesce, or B, agree to come down and talk to them. That's the beginning. They woo you down. Well, come on down. We'll discuss it. You're done. You're done. You'll be recorded as going to that process. Even if you refuse to sign, as far as they're concerned, you went in. You were there. You're done. Okay? When they tell you, before they go into your bank accounts, they tell you they're going to do that beforehand. They literally tell you. As a matter of fact, you will get a paper in the mail, and you'll also, I've been through this numerous times, and the bank will get a paper, and 7 days after that, they're going to go in to look at your records. Well, you got 7 days to say, no, you may not. Okay? Now, they continue to do it anyway, but that strengthens the strengthens the fact that they just broke another law. Okay, you keep building your record on that law. Every law they break all the way through this process, and they break it constantly. They lie. They falsify papers and claim that they filed them. That in itself is a crime. You know, we have there's federal statutes concerning that kind of a crime, filing falsifying papers or someone claiming under the color of law that papers have been filed and they have not been filed. Guess what? Every notice of lien is a falsified paper. No one ever talks about that. They go to court, they argue this and they argue that. Wait, go back to the original. What opened this court? This all started with beginning with a lien on my property. A lien that doesn't exist. A lien that they sent me and said does exist. A lien that they claim existed, and they used that lien to file it with the county clerk and to have the sheriff come out and break the law for them. All those crimes just keep building up and building up and building up. And that's how you got to look at these things with all of these problems, every single one of them. So if you're in a court case for just about anything where you're not getting the justice, you know, if you want to attach your case to our, you know, if it's the IRS case, you want to attach it there. Anything else, you're going to want to attach it to our main extraordinary case, and just by putting an affidavit in, okay? And all of this becomes evidence. You know, look at all the evidence we just went through minutes ago, showing all of the things that they just ignored, totally just ignored them, and did whatever they please. Lawlessness, they are the epitome of lawlessness. You know, when you look up the word lawlessness, they should have these judges, a picture of these judges, to represent what lawlessness is, because that's what they are. They are lawless. Show me a lawful court. I have been in this is 2020. We've been involved in moving into the courts since, I think, 2011, 2012, somewhere around there. So we've been in moving into the courts for almost 10 years now. I have not found a court that operates under the Constitution. I have not found a court that runs lawfully. I have not seen a court that does nothing but throw the people out of the court if it goes up against the status quo. They don't want you in that court, and they just throw you out on, I think it's Rule 12. It's been so long since I spoke about that. I think it's Rule 12. Throw you out on Rule 12. Rule 12, Rule 12. Everybody gets thrown out on Rule 12. They don't want to hear the case? Rule 12. You're out. Every single person. I have talked to so many people who have been filing their own papers, and they got the same thing. Rule 12. We don't want to talk about it. Rule 12. See you later. Goodbye. And then they'll go after you with this. This is frivolous. You know, you can't. We're not going to let you file papers no more. This person can't file papers in this court no more. I've been listed that way in some courts already. So, matter of fact, right here in New York. But you know what? They commit so many crimes. I got a whole slew of other crimes. We're in with another one now. But I'm not in for those no more. I'm in for something totally new. And we'll see how they handle that. Plus, of course, we have the grand jury filing papers right here, which is operating as the tribunal, laying out the papers to the IRS. And again, I think we're going to do something directly to the bar. We're going to tell them to cease and desist all of this crime that they're doing because... really, that's subversion against the United States of America is what it is. They're teaching people a subversion and teaching it as truth when it is a lie. No one can abolish God's law. No one can abolish the law of the land. Who has the power and the authority to do that? We the people don't even have the power to do that, because we can't speak for everyone to begin with, and ultimately it's God. We can't speak for our posterity who hasn't even been born yet, maybe. We can't speak for everyone, so we can't even get rid of it. How does a judge, how does the Supreme Court of the United States think that they, these nine wise men, think that they can get rid of the law of the land? That was done, by the way, back in 1938, so... all different justices up there now, but they all know the truth. We've been laying it out on papers for 3-4 years now. They know the truth. They can't say they didn't know. They're guilty.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
They've never kept you out of court. They've threatened you, but I don't think they've ever actually kicked you
out.
Yeah,
my last case, they did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, yeah. I tried to go through for something else, and it was a paper case. I never went down into the court. It was just a paper case, and I went through the whole... I even went to the United States Supreme Court with it. I mean, and, you know, they don't even lie about it. You know, when I went up for the appeal to go through the appellate court, the clerk wrote the papers and signed them. Go figure that out. You know, what happened to the three-panel of judges that I'm supposed to get? Where did they go to? Were they after lunch or something? Same thing with the United States Supreme Court. The lower court decided, no, you can't go up there. But it doesn't matter, because we're already up there anyway. And I came out after them in a different way anyway. And that case is a little old. You know, that's the $80 case that turned into, by the way, $675,000. Just picture that. How does $80 in 3 or 4 years turn to $600,000+?
Nice work if you can get it.
I'm telling you, I wish I made. And that's the tax I owe. Okay? You know, I mean, these people are insane.
Hey, listen, when they wanted to go in your account, they never actually got in your account, right?
Oh, you know that they did. You know that they did, of course. They get into any account they want.
I'm talking about that case where they gave you a letter of apology. You sued everybody, the bank.
Well, yeah, that, yeah, and we got more against them now. We got a lot more to than
that
what
time,
that case was about.
Did they actually go into the account at that time? I mean,
I suspect that they did, because they had certain knowledge that they couldn't have had without doing that. Okay, and you know what they'll do is they'll look into an account, and let's say they see $50,000 went through that account in the entire year. Well, guess what? That's how much tax you owe. As far as they're concerned, that's how they do their bookwork. You owe $50,000. And I'm serious.
Scary.
Well, of course. Well, that's called, I think that's terrorizing, isn't it?
You just send a letter back and say, yeah, but that's minus expenses. I have $110,000, so you owe me money.
Yeah.
I need earned income credit on this stuff.
Well, look, that's terrorizing, isn't it? They're terrorists. They're using the law to terrorize the people. Subversion, again, back to the same thing.
Yeah, it's another scam. They're like a loan shark. You're going to break your knees, right?
They cannot win in this. You know what? I have seen so many different people try to fight the tax people. I remember one individual, we remember a friend of ours with us for quite some time, he kind of disappeared, and they took him down to court, and I remember going down to court and seeing him in the court, and he's talking to the judge, and I'm feeling, oh man, he's burying himself, and I'm sure they chewed him up and spit him out. I don't know, we should give him a call one day. But in any event, all these court cases, and I've heard a few cases, and you listen, and none of these lawyers talk about the law. Wonder why they don't talk about the law. They're not allowed to bring up the law. We the people can bring up the law, okay, because if they bring up the law, they'll be brought into the back room, because the law says the exact opposite of what the IRS says it says. Literally. Read the paper we did last week. Everything is upside down and inside out. It's so strange that it's so plain upon the paper here, and yet they use it and go through and convict people. You know, they're in trouble if you really just bring them into, just look at their law, they're in trouble, because the law does not say what it says, what they claim it says. Okay, I don't sell ammunition. I don't sell weapons, and I don't sell fuel. I don't sell aviation fuel. I don't transport fuel. I don't do any of those things. So none of that stuff applies to me. See, that's what you have to learn to know. But look, it's still an uphill battle. These people are evil. They control the courts. You got to get a lot of witnesses in there. You got to get affidavits going if you go into court. And you have to do your homework, and you have to bring up the issues point by point by point. You can destroy every point they bring up. None of these lawyers do it because they don't go into the law to discover it. And they explain to them what the law is, and, oh, okay, that's what the law is. And they don't go to read it themselves. Maybe some of them do, but they're not allowed to talk about it in the court, it seems. They won't allow a lawyer to make that kind of defense. That's why if you go to these courts, you better, if you're going to be inside one of these courts, you better do your homework and you better represent yourself.
Hey, that guy you were talking about that was fighting the IRS, and I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
He did have a reprieve somewhat. He caught them because they're arrogant and they're haughty. And, you know, he doesn't let anything go by. He's very meticulous. And he caught them on something. Basically, I think it's just a big stall at this point. Because he got the judge to agree with him, and so he just bought himself more time and a little more leeway for his. You know, they wouldn't even let him sell his land to pay.
Okay, you're talking about RS. I'm talking about C, first name C.
Oh no, I was talking RS.
That's yeah.
Oh, I don't know first name C.
I'm familiar with that. And he's in jeopardy yet. He's an intelligent guy and he knows things, but. Yeah, and he scrutinizes the law pretty darn good.
Well, he got them because they're stupid themselves. I don't think they know what he knows in as far as law goes, you know what I mean?
I sent him a copy of every paper we've been sending. I've been sending copies, and I sent him the IRS paper when I sent this out. He got a copy of that, so hopefully that gives him some good ammunition.
I think you're empowering him because he did start to turn them because they basically said something stupid. And he nailed them on it, and then they had to step back. So I didn't hear how that came out. I haven't talked to Tony lately, but that was probably, I don't know, 6 months ago. I should call Tony and touch base with him.
Hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah, I'm interested in hearing. So. All right, anyway, I think I'm finished with my ranting. I don't know. Am I finished, Jan? You have any more questions?
Yes, I have one here on foreclosure again. Since some of the members now have their decision and order from the NLA grand jury, what should be the next plan of action? And there's six possibilities here.
Well, Zed.
Do you want me to read the six?
Yeah, let's hear what they think or say.
Okay, possibly expunge the previous matter. Two, to now move forward and get relief and remedy first. Or three, to put the sheriff on notice to get the property reclaimed by obtaining a writ of seizure to serve on the tenant and give 90 days. Four, publishing the decision and order public or online. Five, make sure that every previous homeowner gets their property back without interferences from other authorities. Or six, to denounce their courts and prepare to have the people's own courts, police, sheriffs, judges, when needed to execute these agendas.
Okay, well, look, the sheriff, unfortunately, dumb as a box of rocks, and I speak of most sheriffs. There are a few, I think, that probably know the truth. They've educated themselves. But most sheriffs, dumb as a box of rocks. They may be good at what they were trained at. They may have been police officers or working for the sheriff's department as deputies and then ran for sheriff, but still dumb as a box of rocks because they never learned the Constitution. They have no clue on what to do. They go to the bar attorney, to the minions of the New World Order to find out, what should I do? Oh, those crackpots, you better stay away from them, whatever the case may be. That's the problem with the sheriff. Good news on that front, real good news, because we are going to do a focus on the sheriffs. But look, we're teaching people to take control of their sheriff on a grassroots level. That's part of the program that we're teaching. to take back the militia, to reestablish the militia from the grassroots up, starting from the beginning and bring them up to the real militia, to bring back the committeemen, take control of your communities, take control of what's being taught in your schools, take control of the people that represent you, get rid of the people that are in office that aren't representing you, that are violating you, that are committing fraud and just getting rich off of your vote, okay? To take back the courts, stop all this injustice in the courts, prevent it from happening, put these judges in jail that are not obeying the Constitution. That's the power of the people. That's what we're trying to teach people to do. That's what we all have to do. And if we don't do it, we got to do our homework. And if we don't do it, we're going to lose it all. Okay? Now, that includes, in that plan, is the proper approach to the sheriff and the proper education of a sheriff. Little by little, it takes some time. But good news on the horizon. I heard, I'm not sure whether I heard the President Trump say this himself, or I heard someone else say it that speaks for President Trump, or where I heard this from, but whatever, I only listen to good sources, so I believe it's true, and it may have been out of his own mouth, but he is pushing something to require the sheriffs to know the Constitution, to have some background in the Constitution, and that's going to be helpful. That's going to take time. What we're doing is going to take time. We do put out, on everything we do put out orders to the court, and we default them, we go to give them a decision and order, and then it lingers there. It can't go for execution. Why? Because the sheriffs are as dumb as a box of rocks. That's why. Okay? They need to become educated. Now, again, I am saying there's a few sheriffs out there that are catching on to this, or maybe have known it before I even started talking about it. I don't know. But it's hard to find a sheriff that has confidence in himself or herself to be able to get up and step and stand on the law and tell the lawyers, go to hell, this is how I interpret and this is what's going to happen. And I am the boss of this county when it comes to judicial matters. I am the top cop. Get out of town. But you know, you have to have knowledge and you have to have confidence in that knowledge to be able to do that. That's what they need. That's what we got to give to them. That's what President Trump is talking about, to push them to do these things. He's pushing from the top up, top down right now. Are you pushing from the bottom up right now? Are you involved in your county? Are you involved in the grassroots? Are you working with or becoming a committeeman or working to support the people to become committeemen, to find more committeemen for your county? Are you working to take back your courts in your county? Are you getting together discussing all this business and trying to take back your nation, to take back control on the grassroots level? Are you coming here getting educated on all the educational things that we have to teach people how to do these things, to be empowered? Are you doing that? I'm here to tell you that most aren't. Need to do it. We'll lose this nation. Woe is us if we do. Anyway.
Look, there's something else going on I want to talk about with the sheriff. Yeah. You know, Robert has a neighboring sheriff who's very constitutional, reads our stuff, ready to go. But he's
I think we're getting together on hopefully a conversation soon or something.
Yeah, he's the head of the Sheriff's Association, which means I don't know how many counties there are in where Robert is, but he's got influence over all of them. That's a wonderful opportunity for us. So we
right, absolutely. If we can get the sheriff in every state that is responsible for the association to make sure the proper education goes through and get to that guy. Remember, we almost had that guy here in New York. But then he left and another guy took his place. But he understood what was going on and we could have had his ear. We missed that opportunity.
In my mind, especially looking at the latest X-22 where he says Trump is going after the press because they're our biggest enemies. When something happens, they're not reporting it, which is just as bad sometimes.
You listened today, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't get
to hear that. Yeah, let me tell you, he's absolutely right on point on that one. And on top of that, they got to be held accountable. They got to go to jail. These people are subverters.
It couldn't happen at a better time if he does that and puts the fear of God into them. Because, look, if you get six or seven sheriffs, and there are seven or so or eight sheriffs out west, I don't know if you remember, they all banded together when we were doing the Bundy thing with all those
ranchers. Right.
And they were standing, and then we had that list with I don't know what it was. There was 100 or more sheriffs that were signing the thing saying they were constitutional. I don't remember if you remember that list we made up.
I remember. Yep.
And that, in my mind, if you can get this stuff reported on, look at if a sheriff's association or a association of three states, the tri-states or whatever, go in and serve a judge, because I think it's a death warrant for one sheriff to do it. He needs a mass of people, and if he could get three states to come in with him, it's over. And the other sheriffs seeing that would educate them right there. You would have an overnight awakening of the sheriffs right there, because they would look at that and they would say, son of a gun, because like you said, a lot of them don't even understand what their powers are, you know?
Yep, so, they have no idea. And look, you do not have to be formally educated to understand the Constitution. You do not have to be formally educated to understand any of the things we are doing. You just have to be educated and informed. And the best education, in my opinion, is a self-education. You know, self-education has its one downfall. You know, in the beginning, when you self-educate yourself, you kind of leave certain things out that you kind of need and you don't think about, and later on you realize, well, if only you had someone to counsel you to say, hey, make sure you do this, that. You know, you're going to need prerequisites, or you need other things in life to give you a good balance of things other than just what you're studying in this case, the law or something, how the federal courts go or the Constitution or whatever. That's the only downfall. But the up of this whole thing is you're not polluted with all of the lies and the fraud that they are teaching in these schools. And I'm talking about all these schools, all of them. If you don't realize that your children are being raised right now in these public schools as socialists, then you got your head buried somewhere, because that's what they're doing. I told this story before, and just a quickie, I could tell quite a few of these little stories, but here's one with my nephew, and I went to his school, and they were having rallies and stuff, and there was an anti-Second Amendment rally in the school. This was a school, during the school hours, this is what they're being taught, and that's when that big shootout, the last big shootout that they had where people died and everybody gun control, we got to get rid of the guns, and that's what they're teaching your children and your grandchildren in school right now.
And
if you're good with that, if you're good with that, then continue doing what you're doing, nothing. Or if you're not good with that, get involved in your county.
Those teachers that allow those kids to have an anti-Second Amendment rally,
unbelievable,
should be brought up on charges of subversion of the Constitution. You can't have an anti-Second Amendment rally. The other thing people think that if they get enough people together, they can negate the Second Amendment. There, nothing could be further from the truth. That's an unalienable right that comes from God. It doesn't come from man. It's something. Our right to defend ourselves isn't given to us by men. And it doesn't matter how many votes you get or how many people or how many news reports. It doesn't matter. It's one of those things that they can't change. See, they think that you can change anything if you get enough people. And, of course, every newscaster, it's very dangerous to our democracy. You know, it's not a democracy. It's not supposed to be. That's mob rule. And they got this, they're giving the kids this mindset that if enough of us get up and do it. Now, Obama, what his theory was is, we'll just do it anyway. You know, because for him, he knows there's no consequences, right?
Yeah.
So until he swings from a rope, then everybody will see there is consequences.
Well, anyway. Well, these people, they just don't stop. You know, I asked my nephew, bring your textbooks home. I'd like to look at some of these textbooks. He says, what textbooks?
Yeah,
I said, textbooks.
Exactly.
You got textbooks in school? No, we don't have textbooks. I said, where do you get your lessons from? We download them off of the internet when we're told. Okay? They can change that. Oh, it's time to teach them this instead of that. Oh, let's change this. We'll move that in there. You have no idea. Parents have no idea, no clue. I don't know how many schools are doing it this way. I'm in New York, so I don't know if maybe other states are different or other areas, but this is pretty bad where I'm at. And I'm in a conservative, quote-unquote, area. That doesn't mean constitutional, of course. Conservative doesn't mean that. You know, we all need to be constitutionalists. That's what we need to be. Not libertarian, not Republican, not conservative. No, constitutionalist. That's the words that we need to use. We need to bring the Constitution, the law of the land, to play here, and this is how we have to run things. And I'm telling you, there is no reason in the world that any person that starts school needs to go anywhere beyond the 8th or 9th grade. You should have today's college education without, of course, being having doctrines or anything, but just a basic education, you should have easily a four-year college education on the basic subjects in within 8 or 9 years if it's taught properly. But they don't teach it properly. I mean, they don't use phonics no more, the most powerful way to learn to read and write. You don't have to remember anything if you're taught properly, because it's embedded inside your brain, which is like a computer, and it's etched in, and it's repetitive over and over again, and it just spills out of your mouth because it's there. Why? Because you spent your time there. Not that you had photographic memory or anything. It's just the way the mind works. You know, there's some videos out there on the brain. I should get a hold of it and put them up. I did have a series of videos, but then they took them down, so really bad. But there's another guy that did something on how the brain works. We should get that up online, see if I can get it on our website. It's really educational. But the thing is, look, they don't teach our children a classical education, which a classical education will not teach our children what to think. A classical education will teach our children how to think. They will present the debates, the conversation, and it becomes clear on what's right. You know, just listen to the conversations with an open mind, and you will find the truth. Truth is self-evident. That's a key point. You know, we were built on self-evident truths. The rules of the court, of a common law court, is self-evident truths. It's you can't argue. You know, a statement like water cannot run uphill. Who can argue that? It's maxims. A thing similar is not necessarily the same thing. So precedence is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. When you go into a court, it's only the facts of that case which matters. Nothing more, nothing less. And when 12 people sit down and listen very carefully to what's going on, and then they go and deliberate, and they start discuss, oh, yeah, I remember that. You're right on that. Yeah, what, I don't remember that. Yeah, really? You figure, yeah, that guy, he was really lying. No doubt about that. Look, they will figure it out on all self-evident truths. You know, a good cop that's investigating, they're looking for the inconsistency. You know, if you say the same story word for word over and over again, every time you ask, well, what do you mean? I told you that before. Well, I just want to hear it again. Well, if it's word for word all the way through, something's wrong. Because that's not the way things work in your brain. It's not the way it happens. They know that you're not telling the truth. They know that you're lying. Okay? And there's a lot of little things. And we don't have to really know these things. They're innate in us to see them. Sort of like what's called maybe a Freudian flip type, Freudian slip type thing. You know? Truth is self-evident. And when you get a case that you just can't figure it out, you let them go. Because you can't put a person in jail unless you're 100% sure, without a shadow of a doubt. Anyway, do we have any other questions?
We have one short one here, John. This person would like to arrange a phone or Zoom presentation to address NLA members. Now, the problem is, I think, that the topic she would like to address... come on, where'd they go? Are how to prepare and why file a declaration of status to become a private citizen, and how to legally stop paying income tax.
Yeah, we don't do those things. Those are the things that can get us in trouble. I mean, I know where they're coming from, and I understand what they're trying to do. And we have, you know, Gerard and I, we went and filed our declarations also when we were babies in this stuff, and, you know, was trying to, and we're trusting in a lot of people, and, you know, and we weren't at the really up there enough to really dig deep on our own. But as we started digging deep and we started to discover the flaws and the problems there, the declaration's not going to do anything for you, number one. And teaching people how to deal as far as, you know, file papers and do things against the IRS to do things could get someone in trouble. I would suggest anybody going up against the IRS, you got to do it in numbers. You can't be on your own. If you're fighting them, you're not going to win. You can buy the best lawyer in the world, you're not going to win. they are going to win. They will get their money. They will destroy your life, your family. They'll destroy everything you've ever done. You will be just distraught and destroyed for the rest of your life by these people. The only way is power in numbers, and that's why the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury has taken this issue up. And now is the time. The timing is right. But what's going on in Washington, the draining of the swamp, these people, they're so close. Things are going to break really soon. I can't see it going much longer, but it's coming. It's getting there. Q said, it's going to be a hot summer. And here we are. Matter of fact, they said it's going to be a hot spring. We're still in the spring. So, hey, it's here, Anyway, those issues we can't teach people. We have to teach people the Constitution. We'll teach you about 26 and everything else, but if you're going to battle these people, you got to get together in numbers. You can't do it by yourself. Just to finish up before anybody wants to put an affidavit in for other things, get a hold of Jim, Jim has a list of things we'll go forward with, but if there's some other things he'll bring to my attention and we'll consider it, affidavits. I do get not a lot of mail, but I get some mail here or there from someone who's in prison or someone, just to stay in prison. We'll deal with just those group of people. And they ask for help. They write long, long papers. It's always by pencil and paper. Sometimes it's hard to read, but they're long, long papers. I don't have the time. We don't have a staff to deal with that. But if there's anyone that feels comfortable that they've got some decent knowledge in what we're doing these days and would like to take on talking and communicating with these people in prison, they got some information about us, but they don't really understand what we're doing, and they think we have to understand their whole case. But we could do a habeas corpus for these people. We can do, I might be able to do some papers in different ways, possibly for these people. But, I need help. I need someone to communicate and enlighten these people on what we can do for them. Because they don't understand what we're doing. And they're not listening because they're in jail. So, but they heard from us, about us from somebody. I don't know. So anybody who thinks paralegal would be really good for this job, if we can get someone that's a paralegal, that would like to assist us with that, communicating with these people and assisting them, and we'll work out the list of ways we can assist them. And here is the problem. Here is the major problem. And I don't have a solution for this. I don't think there is a solution for this, because the only solution is really a clogged up court that they've never seen, as this world has never seen. And that is, anybody who is convicted under civil law has not been convicted in a court of law. It's unlawful. Habeas corpus should get them removed. They need to retrial the whole case. Okay? And bear in mind, as Judge Bork said, and those who know who Judge Bork is, back in the 80s and stuff, Judge Bork says, that 80% of the people, or 90, I think he said 80. 80, I say 90 though. 80% of the people that are in jail are only there because they opened their mouth. They'd have kept their mouth shut. They couldn't be put in jail. That's back in the 80s though. Remember, now they don't care. I'll put your ruling for you. The judge will actually say, I'll make a decision for you and plead not guilty. Okay, that's what he'll actually say that. I object, Your Honor. I'm not pleading that guilty. Oh, you're pleading? No, I'm not pleading that either. But they don't care, I don't think, these days, because they feel so insulated, so protected, okay, that no one's going to come get them. And I want to let them know, if they're listening, that you're wrong. We're here and we're coming. But that's the sad truth about this whole thing, is every case is a problem. It's not a lawful case. If you were tried under the civil law, it's not lawful. And a lot of people in jail, our county jails are filled with people that are under this situation, where the judge and jury was some guy who doesn't even have a law degree to begin with anyway, which probably is better. But in any event, you know, these town judges and these city judges and these village top judges putting people in jail. They think they have the power and the authority to do it. As long as it's no longer than a year, oh, we have the power to do that. I have no idea where they get that kind of thinking, because I haven't found that yet. No due process. You don't get it because it's less than a year. No, we could do it anyway, civil. It doesn't matter what. Well, we can make it up as we go. It doesn't matter. I mean, it seems to be their attitude, because they literally, that's the way they are, you know. But in any event, that was the last question?
No, I do have one announcement.
Okay.
And that is, we are still looking to complete our initial list of 10 district leaders. And also, once that's complete, we would like 10 more for sharing the load here on these 10 district leaders. The districts that we're missing are District 1, which is Alaska, Washington, Oregon. District 5, which is North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. District 6, which is Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and District 8, which is Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, and West Virginia. So if you would like to take a little more active role and feel that you're capable, please email me, jan@nationallibertyalliance.org. We can certainly use your help.
And we need paralegals. We need secretaries. We need people, and even people with no knowledge of anything. We can train you in different things. You can work with people who have knowledge and learn. We need a lot of people. So look at, but more important, the most important thing is for people to get involved on the grassroots level. That's first and foremost should be in everybody's mind. And if you can give us some help on the upper level here. On the district level, again, 10 districts, okay? So this is the part of the national leadership, these 10 districts leaders. And, you know, we need people to help us to organize and work with the states, coordinate the states, and get the states to coordinate and work with the counties so that they bring the people up to empower them. Help wanted, desperately. Okay, let's, if we're done, that's it, Jan?
Yep, that's all I have.
Okay, let's move over. We're going to move over to Brent in a minute. Brent, I see you're here. Are you in front of your computer? Give us a hey, some sign of life over there.
Yeah, he said he was ready to go, so.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna, as soon as I make the announcement and introduce Brent, I'm passing the controls over to you, Gerard.
Yeah,
okay. I see he just unmuted himself. So you're ready, Brent, right?
I got something I'm going to do just before Brent gets on. So.
Okay, you want to? You do that, then I'll introduce Brent, and I'll pass everything. Do you want the controls now?
Yeah, I wanna share my screen. So.
Okay, so let me stop sharing. Takes me a few seconds to figure this out because they get so many different screens in here. I get so confused. Okay, am I sharing it? Maybe I stopped sharing. Am I sharing anymore?
I still see you got the Fifth Amendment up there, that paper.
Okay, because I got to click for stop sharing. I mean, for sharing. Let me see. Now I got it. Okay, stop sharing. It should have stopped.
There you go. Yeah.
You know how to do it, right?
Yeah, I should just hit this. Let me see if it's
going. You hit this and then hit that, and hopefully you got it.
There it is. Share, automatically share. Wait a minute. Select items to share.
Yeah, you got to click what you want to share. There's a list that's on your screen. There are things that you may not want to share. Just don't check that box. If it comes up, no one will see it.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to share. You don't want to share, obviously, the controls or anything like that.
Okay, I got it. I'll hit start share.
You have two screens now or just one?
Oh, I just got one screen. I'm going to...
Yeah, you need to go out and get another one.
Well, no, I got another computer. I need another laptop, so I can...
No, you need two screens. You know what I mean?
I got another screen. I just got to hook it up.
Okay, you're going to have to make that the biggest you can. Is that the biggest you can?
Not yet. I can go full screen with it. Where's the?
There you go. You got full screen now. Okay.
Okay. This is a video I got earlier today, and I think it's very important because it brings up the issues of where we are right now today in the country. I mean, look at Trump's up there, and he's swinging hard, but the New World Order is not going to give up without a fight, and they're every place that you can turn. And they're still marching forward. They have their plans, and look at this whole virus, as far as I'm concerned, whether Trump got in or Hillary got in, it was a plan. It was the plan to take us over. And so just because Trump's in there, they weren't going to stop. And so they've really skewed the amount of cases. They're calling everything death by COVID. It doesn't matter if you fall down the steps, basically, just to keep the numbers up. But they're starting to lose that game because there's doctors coming out. Now, Dr. Shiva I'll show you in a minute his thing. You should go watch his stuff. He's very, very good. He's running for Congress in, Massachusetts. And he is excellent. And he comes and he swings hard. And he doesn't hold back. And he's a genius. He invented email at age 14. And he's got like 4 or 5 degrees from MIT. He has 1 PhD. But 4 other degrees, and he's the thing that impresses me about him is he's an electrical engineer, mechanical engineer, this, that, but he's a biological systems engineer, and he studied pandemics and the immune system for quite a few years. That's what he did his paperwork on. That's what he experimented on in the lab. And he's an expert bar none. He knows what he's talking about. So he's a guy that he's running for Congress. So if you're in Massachusetts, or even if you're not in Massachusetts, we need to support this guy. We need more people like him. And he says he only wants to go in and do one term, but he lays it out. He goes after Bill Gates, Fauci, what's her name? Bricks, the doctor there. And, he basically says they shouldn't even be running this thing. They have a conflict of interest. They all make money on vaccinations, and that's where they're driving us to, whether you know it or not. They don't want anything to start until everybody's tested and that there's a vaccine, which there can't be a vaccine for another year, and you don't need it. It's all a bunch of baloney. They're causing this thing with the vaccines they're giving people. If you took a flu vaccine, and you go down and get tested for corona, you're going to test positive. Hello, because they're only testing for RNA. The test they're using, the guy that invented the test, said you can't use this for diagnosing because it's not gene specific to. And actually, all the flus that we get out there today, they're all coronaviruses. So, and what's happening now is now that they got some numbers and they're starting to revise and get rid of all the fake deaths and stuff. It turns out that this thing is going to be less deadly than our seasonal flu, and we closed the whole world down because of it, because we allowed them to give us fear porn. The news agencies are part and parcel responsible for this, for their reporting and their lying and their omission. But I want you to listen to this video. It's not that long. It's very serious what he says, and it is happening. It's going on right now. And that and the other stuff that's going on between Fauci and Trump and Bill Gates, these are the things that we have to rise up against, and we need to rise up now. You need to get a hold of your sheriff and you're going to say, listen, this is baloney. They've lied to us. I've researched it. I have evidence. It's all a lie. And I'm not going to take a test, and I'm not going to take a vaccination. And I'm telling you right now, Sheriff, if they come after me to my door, I'm putting my gun out and I'm calling you, because I'm willing to fight to the death. They're not going to come to the door to give you a vaccination. See, this thing was designed. Look at Google's over in China. Google's very comfortable with China, and they give them a lot of technology. China's social credit system was set up by Google and perfected. even now you have governors saying we're going to use the cell phones to track people, and whoever's traveling and shouldn't be traveling, we're going to go after their asses. You realize what that means? I mean, in China, they require that you own a cell phone so they can keep track of you, and you do all your business on the cell phone, and that's one methodology. Besides the 2.4 million cameras they got up on the streets with facial recognition, and this 5G, it's all designed to lock us down, track us, lock us down, chip us. The whole 6-foot distancing, that's all baloney. There's no medical science about that. Matter of fact, if you listen to Shiva, he said, the more you put those masks on and the more you stay home, the sicker the nation's going to get. Because we get healthy by breathing on each other, believe it or not. That's how we maintain our herd immunity. And if you put a mask on, all the stuff that you're breathing out hits that mask, and it grows there, and you breathe it back in. So what you're doing is you're creating a place for the disease to actually grow and establish a colony and then suck it back into your lungs. And so this whole mask thing is such a joke, it's ridiculous. You know, look at somebody that has a disease and they know that they can stop from giving it to you by putting a mask on so they don't cough into your face, but you wearing a mask isn't going to stop it. The average person touches their face 3,000 times a day. And if you can pick this stuff up off of a surface, then you need glasses too, because somebody coughs and hits you in the eye, it's a mucous membrane. Guess what? You got it. It's ridiculous to think that you can hide from this so-called virus, and I won't even get into how they lie to us about viruses, that they're really not the cause of disease, they're the result. And if you want to know about that, go listen to Dr. Shiva. He talks about it because he's a systems, a biological systems engineer. He looks at the body as a whole, not as a piece. The model that Fauci and them are using is an antiquated medieval model of the immune system, and it's a reductionist theory. It doesn't take into account the 27 other parts of the immune system, how it works. Most doctors don't even understand the immune system at all. They're not taught. So anyway, I don't want to get off on that whole tangent, but you need to educate yourselves. And we need to, and see, like I said, they probably won't come door to door right away. We can't let them get to that point, because that's going to be a revolution, I'm telling you right now. And I believe you got a fully a third of the United States that's awake and lock and loaded. They don't want to go there. They really don't. But we need to be just like those people that came out with their guns and everything and stood on the steps over there in, I forget what state that was, but I saw a picture of them. They had semi-automatic rifles and stuff that you can't carry in New York, and they were there, asserting their rights. And we got a couple of good governors, like the one in North Dakota who didn't lock down. And she said, I took into consideration, you know, everything, including the violation of people's rights, which is what they're supposed to do. But, their whole thing was to put us on like a social credit system. They don't want you to go out unless you've been tested. And then they're going to have different color armbands, just like Hitler with the Jews. Oh, you've been vaccinated? Okay, you get this band. You have it and you're immune, you get that. But then they say, well, no, you know, you could have it and still get reinfected. They don't even know what they're talking about. They're not consistent with this. It's whatever they want it to be. But can you imagine that you're not going to be able to go out? You're not going to be able to buy or sell. They won't let you in the bank. They won't let you have your money. They'll shut you off, just like the movie Enemy of the State. So if you don't comply with their orders, and by the way, they want to chip us. Bill Gates wants to chip us, and he already experimented. He gave vaccinations in Africa, and he injected a chip when he did it. And that RFID chip, they use it on them. They've experimented on it with the military. They keep track of our special forces when they're going behind enemy lines with those chips. And it turns out that you need to be 6 feet apart, so that otherwise your signal and the guy next to your signal melds into one. So the guys are strictly told to stay 6 feet apart so they can keep counting them. Well, what do you think they're doing to us, telling us social distancing, you got to keep 6 feet apart? They're softening us up for the chip. Now, you might think I'm crazy, but go research it. Anyway, let's listen to this guy. He's a farmer out west. The farmers are dumping milk and beef and eggs They got a bottleneck now because of this pandemic. It's not that they don't have the product. It's that they can't get it to us. And I want you to listen to him. This is a guy that's in the business where the rubber meets the road. You need to hear this. So I'm going to go ahead and play it now. Hopefully you can hear it.
This is Shad Sullivan coming from the headwaters of Bitter Creek.
I don't know if that sound is coming through.
State officials will be assisting to help identify potential alternative markets if a producer is unable to move animals and, if necessary, advise and assist on depopulation and disposal methods. Ladies and gentlemen, we are plowing under vegetable crops from coast to coast. We are euthanizing millions of chickens. We are aborting sows and burying feeder pigs. We are dumping milk by the hundreds of thousands of gallons, and now they are preparing us to depopulate the fat cattle ready to harvest. Because of a bottleneck created by the effects of COVID, this thing hasn't been created by COVID, but the effects of COVID and the logistics therein, we are in trouble. Our food supply is in trouble, and I am appealing to producers and consumers across the nation to start calling. Yesterday, the first shipment of imported beef from the country of Namibia hit the shores of the United States of America. And yet this morning, they are telling us to prepare to euthanize harvest-ready cattle. Am I the only one that sees a problem in this? It is time we get the American people back to work. It is time we get money flowing. It is time we get food on the shelves. Because if you're not concerned about this food supply problem, you better be. We have a huge supply and demand of food across this nation. We can feed the world ourselves, and yet we're destroying our harvests. At the same time, we are importing beef from other countries, beef that is less regulated than our beef, less safe, not as high quality of product, and yet it's happening. At the same time, they are preparing for us to euthanize our harvests. Does that make sense to America? For the last 10 years, we have been pressed to be sustainable. I've said all along, sustainability is a fraud. And right now, we're being forced to destroy our harvests.
Do I try muting your mic?
Sustainability to me, but it is part of
what's
the
that?
Try me, Mike.
Your food system. You see, they cannot have control of the people.
Hang on a minute.
They have control of the food, the water, the land, production.
No, let this guy go. He's okay. He's coming through.
Does that matter?
Well, we don't hear him no more, so I guess you can't do that.
Okay, hang on. That's my speakers.
Us. We are of, by, and for the
now
people.
We hear
this
them. Okay.
Nancy Pelosi's
just that we hear breathing.
This is not Donald Trump's country. This is your country, and you're going to go hungry.
Well,
we must get regional and local packing houses up and going.
You can go back to full screen.
We have to have those big packing plants. You bet we do, and they need to be.
We're not hearing any sound anymore. Gerard, we're not hearing any. Gerard, we're not hearing anything.
this is a...
There you go. We got back for a second. Now it's gone. No sound, Rob. No sound. Gerard, are you hearing me? There's no sound. We're not getting any sound, Gerard.
Demand that these people...
There you go. We got sound now. No. We had sound.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, but we wouldn't get any sound. Try it again now. We just heard him. You did something. Turned him back on. Not hearing any sound here. Jan, are you hearing sound on your end?
No, I don't hear anything at the moment. Not coming through anymore.
Yeah. All right, I guess we'll move. If Gerard, can you hear us? If not, we're going to move on to the next part of our program here because we're sitting here in silence. Okay, we'll move over to Brent.com. When Gerard gets back, maybe he can pick things back up after Brent finishes. Brent, you ready to go? You should be unmuted. Yep, okay. All right, here's Brent Winters. He's the author of many books. One of them is the Excellence of the Common Law. His website is commonlawyer.com. Brent, before we go, I just wanted to say something real quick because I wanted to make mention of this after the video was over, but I'll do it right now. You know, a combination of these four vitamins will assist you in healing from a virus and also preventing a virus ultimately. This is why younger children don't get the virus because they get good immune systems. But the key thing to put into your body, vitamin A, vitamin B12, probably B6 and others also, all the B's are good. A, B, C, and D. D is sunlight. A, B, and C, you know, builds up the immune system pretty powerfully, especially together, and D also adds to that, which is the sunlight. Okay, meanwhile, let's move over to Brent, and then after that, Gerard will pick back up. Maybe we'll get him back connected again. Brent, you got the mic. Thank you.
Thank you. And I appreciate, Gerard, you putting that up. I finally got so I could hear him. I put my hands over my ears on top of my earbuds, and I could hear what he was saying, and I concur. This, of course, is not about a virus. This is about money through vaccinations for some twerps, a few twerps, Bill Gates being probably the best known of them. They wouldn't be so bad. It would be funny if it wasn't so dangerous. Bill Gates is being sued for murderous activity in India because of his vaccination programs. He's sought to the death of many in Africa. And, of course, the vaccination people, the people that are profit from it, like you were pointing out, they're set to make millions. And it's no secret now, the virus, whatever virus it is, another flu kind of a virus, it's in the vaccination. I just know what I read, but this seems to be the overwhelming consensus among doctors. You can find doctors, like in this scientist kind of fellow you're talking about, medical doctors that have compiled information from their own practice. A doctor talked to, I listened to a group of doctors that had several clinics in California, a chain of clinics, and they said, we took our data that we gathered from our clinic over the last few months concerning all this, and it does not fit. It does not fit what the government is saying at all. I'm traveling right now myself. I go into a town, I call, want a room, call two or three hotels. Prices are good right now because nobody's traveling. But they say to me things like, do you have a reason to be traveling? Yeah, I do. What is it? Well, that's none of anybody's business but my own, but I have a good reason. Well, what do? Do you have a letter from your employer? If you don't have a letter from your employer that you're necessary, you need to be traveling, you can't stay here. Now, that's what some of them say. And I'll say, why? Well, the county board has said, and this ordinance and that. Then I'll call another hotel in the same little town, and I'll ask them if they know anything about any county board stuff, and they say, we don't know anything about that. But we do want you to wear a face mask when you're in the hotel. In my room? Well, no, not in your room. But I don't. And so I leave and I find one that just says, come on in. And they're inconsistent. The county boards are saying things. There is no authority from the ones I've looked at. There's no authority for what governors are doing, what county board members are doing, that these are violations of fundamental rights. What is a fundamental right? It's a duty, something that arises from law that binds a man or a woman to do a certain thing. It's your duty to make a decision and do it. That's called a right. That's why we call the Bill of Rights the Bill of Rights, because that's what the old Anglo-Dane word right has always really meant. It's been hijacked and beaten up and worked over, and the meaning has been altered even by the courts. But our Constitution talks about rights: the right to keep and bear arms, the right to trial by a jury. These are duties. They're duties that someone is bound to fulfill or suffer the consequences. We have right to trial by jury. Try to impanel a jury in America right now. Right now. There's that word again. In that case, it means straight away. Straight. Right. That's right. Well, that's right in the sense that it's straight, it's unimpeded, etc. The word's important. But we have what's called the right to trial by jury. Can we impanel a jury in America? Now, I've said, my comments are my own, and the principals and the leaders of National Liberty Alliance may or may not agree, but it's my contention that de facto we're under martial law in America right now, and we're so stupid, we as a people are so stupid, so willing to be led around like a bull with a ring in his nose. You put a ring in a bull's nose, I don't care how big he is, you put a ring in his nose, get a halter on his head, run the lead rope through the ring and the bull's nose, and you've got a baby doll on your hands. I don't care if he weighs 2,200 pounds and is wanting to kill you. You get a ring in his nose and get your finger in it or get a rope through it, you got a baby doll. That's what I see going up. People walking out in the middle of nowhere along the road with a face mask on. What in the world? Everybody that works in the hospital knows that if you put a face mask on in the hospital and you don't change it every 20 minutes, you're doing more damage than you are good to yourself. The Bible says quarantine the sick, not the ones that are well. I've heard doctors say that recently. What are we doing here? We're supposed to quarantine sick people. That's exactly what the Bible says. The Bible, by the way, has many of the answers here we're looking for, but so few people know the Bible or have contemplated it or read it, or it's just a book you have and you say you believe it, like the Constitution. It's just a document you have. You say you believe it and you pound the books and pound the table and scream about it. Do you really know anything about it? Well, I'm not saying we need to know the Constitution more than the Bible, but I am saying that's just a lot of noise. We're going to have to get down and get dirty here, but I see Americans just being stupid, wearing face masks everywhere. I've even talked to medical professionals that have told me that they were taught in school that, contrary to what everybody's saying, viruses cannot be contracted airborne. Viruses can only be gotten in two ways. Now, this is what the medical professionals are telling me. They're taught this in school. It can be, a virus can be gotten by ingesting it, that means eating it, or it can be gotten by somebody injecting it into your body, as with a vaccine. That's the only two ways you can get a virus. Are viruses dangerous? Yes. Bacterial pneumonia will kill you. Oh, yeah, I've had relatives die of that stuff. But viral pneumonia isn't as bad. Viruses can kill, but it is important that you not stick your fingers in your mouth. Now, what they're telling us about, don't put your hands on your face, that's good. That's good, because if you have your hands near membranes, but there can be viruses contracted that way. Old people, I'm reading the statistics, old people. Old, I mean 70, 80, up towards 80. I should not say 70. I'm too close to 70. Say 70. Say up in the 80s and 90s. And those folk are the ones that they say are dying from this strain of flu virus called COVID or Corona or whatever it is. But in most cases, they're discovering the people that die from it are the ones that have taken the flu vaccination. Now, isn't that something? This vaccination business is bad business. Bad business in many ways. But I want to talk about rights. That's the stuff that's on our minds. Try to impanel a jury right now. I say we're under de facto martial law. If the courts aren't open, you can't readily impanel a jury in America. Well, then something's going to fill that void. What is it? De facto now. De facto. Martial law. People are living under a martial kind of law. Where I've been recently, they said, if we catch you outside, we're going to arrest you unless you have a need to be outside. Well, that's the word going around town. But I haven't heard of anybody doing that. By the way, I've never known anyone to die from this virus they're talking about. I don't know anyone who knows anyone that's died from this virus. I know a lot of people that tell me their mother has it. I had a lady tell me today, my mother's sister has it. Well, how old is she? Well, she's 53. She has it. Is she dead yet? No. Well, my conclusion is, unless I know, I'd say she doesn't have it. And even if she does have it, she's not going to die. And if she does die, they're going to say she died from it. That's the madness that's going on. It's a mania. It's a spirit of madness that has overtaken us. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. People are losing their minds, and they're acting weird. Let's talk about trial by jury for just a minute. Well, we've got a few minutes here. John said, well, he's written several books. I have. I wrote one big one, nearly 1,000 pages long, comparative law text called Excellence of the Common Law, comparing the law of the land with the law of the city. The law of the land with the law of the city. Our common law with the civil law. Yeah. Almost every country in the world is under some form of the Code of Justinian, the Roman Code of the Roman Empire, which is also the canon law, fundamentally, of the Church of Rome, which also governs every country on the faces of our globe, the law of the city, the Code of Justinian in its various forms. And there are only a handful of common law countries, fundamentally, the English-speaking world. We're one of them. We're probably the most common law country of all common law countries. Why? Because we still have the grand jury is one of the reasons. England doesn't have the grand jury. I don't know if Canada, I don't believe Canada, Australia, or New Zealand have a grand jury. England did away with the grand jury back in the 1930s. We've still got our grand jury at the federal level and some states. Let's talk about jury trial. Trial by jury, according to the course of the common law. Trial by jury, according to the course of the common law. There is no other kind of trial by jury. A trial by jury doesn't exist anywhere else in the world, as the final arbiter of facts and of right and wrong. Listen to the Northwest Ordinance of 1787. The Northwest Ordinance of 1787, one of the four writings that the Congress of the United States has recognized as, they call it organic. That's kind of a dumb word. The organic sound like something that's a bug or some kind of a fauna or something. No, organic. What that really means is our fundamental law. There's the Northwest Ordinance of 1787 for the governance of the territories north and west of the Ohio River, the Constitution of the United States, the Declaration of 76, and the Articles of Confederation. Those are fundamental to understand our ideals about law. Well, the Northwest Ordinance of 1787 says this: the inhabitants shall always be entitled to the benefits of judicial proceedings according to the course of the common law. The inhabitants, yeah, that's the area now of Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, Michigan, all that territory in there, shall always, this is still in 4C, shall always be entitled to the benefits of judicial proceedings, and here's the key phrase, according to the course of the common law. And no man shall be deprived of his liberty or property, but by the judgment of his peers, or the law of the land. The law of the land. What is the law of the land? It's our common law. What is our common law? It is due process. Those are three synonyms. But by the judgment of his peers. People say, well, why does it say life, liberty, or property? Why does it just say liberty or property? Because your life is your property. That's why. Your life is your property. And if someone wants to take it from you, they only can do it according to our law. But by the judgment of our peers. What's a peer? Boy, have we lost that one. What's a peer? Men are not peers to women. Women are not peers to men. Young people are not peers to old people. Doctors are not peers to electricians. Electricians are not peers to carpenters. No, according to your peers. This word peer, P-E-E-R, P-E, no, P-E-E, P-E-E, yeah, two E's. Sound like I said three. Peer, it's related to the word, or it's a Latin word taken from Magna Carta where it says the same thing. It's related to our English word pair, P-A-I-R, not P-E-A-R. We're not talking about fruit. We're talking about pairs. What pairs off with another, like a pair of shoes, like something that matches another, the same, only different, the mirror image. And there was a time in common law in England when your peers were those who understood you. Why? Because they were your neighbor who lived down the road from you. Oh, yeah. And not only that, they were of your same economic class. Yeah, they really did understand. They had the same, I wouldn't call it a profession, the same calling, the same vocation as you. I'm a farmer, you're a farmer. Yeah, you understand me, you understand my circumstances, you understand my struggles, you understand my family life, you understand my relatives, you understand, matter of fact, you're probably related to me. Yeah, I got news the other day that a shirt-tailed cousin of mine was on a, what are these, incubators? They're not incubators. What do they call those? You know what I'm talking about, where they put people in them, and these people that have this so-called disease, I've never heard anybody being in one except this shirt-tailed cousin of mine back home. And I don't believe it. I do not believe it. I've tried to follow up on it. By the way, we're peers. I didn't know I was cousins with her until I went off to school and left home, and two fellows with me. The guy wouldn't rent us a place to stay, an apartment, until we told him that we were all related. He wanted to make sure we were all related. We lied. We thought we lied. Said we were. And found out years later that we were cousins. We didn't lie. All cousins. Well, she is too. But that's what a peer is. Somebody that you're related to. Now, we're not related. We're related to in this way. That down the road, you don't have to be by blood, but a lot of times, and in the real world, that's the way it's been. They understand you because you're in the same standing as them. The phrase law of the land is lifted from Magna Carta. It means due process. It means due process. And that is what our common law is. Our common law is not a list of laws, but a way, W-A-Y, of life that affords and demands fair play. Also called the process that is due each person, or due process. The purpose of our common law jury is, I'm quoting here, quoting myself because I wrote this in the book on the jury. The purpose of our common law jury is first to stop the powers that be from wrongfully taking the defendant's life, liberty, or property. Second, to protect our common law government of laws against any government of mere men, whether foreign or domestic. And third, to thereby thwart violent overthrow of abusive government. In fact, to deny trial by jury is to invite and get unnecessary killing, plundering, and destroying. And that's what governs the world. No, that's what misgoverns the world, is killing, plundering, and destroying. Is that what is happening here to us? The jury are our common law's commentary on the trustworthiness of any single employee of government to judge single employee. What's a single employee of government? I'm quoting Justice Antony Scalia. Antony Scalia of the United States Supreme Court when he called the judge a lone employee of the state. Yeah. Well, when our forefathers, I'm quoting Justice Joseph Story now of the Supreme Court of the United States, when our forefathers removed to America, they brought the right to trial by jury with them as their birthright and inheritance as part of that admirable common law which had fenced round and interposed barriers on every side against the approaches of arbitrary power. Birthright and inheritance. Now, isn't it something that if you're born, or as Hazel Watson used to say, if you were born with an ED on the end, I knew what she meant. If you were born on this land, within the territorial bounds of one of the states of the United States or the territories of the United States, you are, by your birth, a citizen of the United States. Now, isn't that something? Why is that? That's not true in the rest of the world. That's true because we are a law of the land country. Everything comes back to the land. If you were born on the land, you belong to the land. Well, now, can you belong to the land any other way? Well, of course, you can be a naturalized citizen, like D.J. Trump's mother from the Isle of Lewis. She migrated here. But she became an American by the naturalization process. But I point out that because we are a common law country, the law of the land, that's what our common law is, everything comes back to the land, everything. And even our fundamental citizenship, as we call it, they used to call it, freemanship is a matter of being part of the land. This is more of a trial by jury. Time has ripened the need to hark back to the simplicity of our Constitution in its common law understanding, which is the intent of the people of the United States to disregard the broad and breathtaking justifications of lawlessness that usurpers now put upon it. Accordingly, we don't want to talk about what government can get away with using current misapplications of the Constitution as much as about the true limits the Constitution draws on government, why these are necessary, how these apply, and when a juror ought to say yes to a government prosecutor or judge, and when he ought to say no. The jury, whether it be the grand jury or the trial jury, the petit jury, that their job is fundamentally the same. That they either say, the jury either says yes to the government, or they say no. They grant permission or withhold permission. The grand jury either grants permission, it says yes, you may try this man and take his life, liberty, property, or combination thereof, or no, you may not. That's what the grand jury does. Now, the jury then says, yes, you may go ahead and take this man's life, liberty, or property, or a combination thereof, or no, you may not. So the grand jury gives permission to the government, yes or no, or withhold permission. You may try this person. The trial jury then says, you may... take this person's life, liberty, property, or some part of it. And that's all the jury has to worry about doing, is saying yes to the government, or saying no to the government. That's all they have to worry about doing. Now, once you see the simplicity of that, it ought to be then a piece of cake after that, just to fill in the blanks and hang some ornaments on the fundamental principle. You, being an American, ought to know your power. You live in a common law country. Thus, to bring your government under law's control, that is, within the Constitution of the United States, you have three votes. Now, here I'm quoting, I'm bringing these ideas in from a fellow, now deceased, just this past year. His name was Red Beckman. Red Beckman, and he is the father of the Fully Informed Jury Association, but he didn't intend to be, but he was. He said this, and he was right, and he stated it out himself and came to this conclusion. You have three votes: your vote to elect government officials, your vote as a grand jury juror to allow or refuse government's request to put a person in jeopardy of his life, liberty, or property in a criminal trial, and third, your vote as a petit or trial juror to consent or refuse the government's request to take a defendant's life, liberty, or property. Now, Red, his name was Martin, everybody called him Red. I heard a fellow say something about Red Beckman one time. He said, that fella is big enough to hunt grizzly bear with a stick. Well, he was pretty big. He wasn't heavy. He was just big. But he focused more on the grand jury. That was his area of deep study and expertise, not so much the trial jury. But he made the point, and of course, he does this by analogy. As a juror, you really don't have a vote. It's not a vote. That's a majority principle idea. As a juror, you just either say yes or no. It's not a vote, because the jury does not operate on the majority principle. At trial, there are 12 jurors in a criminal trial, for instance, or a non-criminal trial. And in order for you to win, in your case, if you're a party, all 12 must agree with you. All 12. That's not a majority rule kind of a principle. Well, with the grand jury, it's the same thing, only a little different. If there are 12 grand jurors, all 12 have to agree. If there are 15 grand jurors, 12 of the 15 have to agree. If there are 23 grand jurors, 12 of the 23 have to agree to indict. If there are 36 grand jurors, 12 have to agree to indict. Of course, with the grand jury, the more grand jurors you have, the better chance the prosecutor would have of getting an indictment, maybe, but maybe not. It just depends on so many factors that you can't add up. But it all comes back to the number 12. Now, isn't that something? I'd like to point this out. It all comes back to what 12 men sworn to witness the evidence say in agreement. And I notice and take note that that's what Jesus Christ did. He impaneled 12 jurors, usually called the 12 disciples, but they were 12 jurors impaneled for a specific purpose. And that purpose was to witness the evidence of his deity and his messiahship. And they all agreed, by the way, and 11 of them, were murdered because they wouldn't change their tune. One, John the Apostle, the jury foreman, as it were, he died in chains, slave labor in a salt mine on the Isle of Patmos, tradition has it, and I see no reason to not take that as truth. But also, when Judas... betrayed Jesus Christ. He was one of those 12. He betrayed Jesus Christ. But they needed the testimony of 12, and so they had two men after Judas tried to hang himself, and the rope broke, and his guts burst out when he hit the deck. He fell off a cliff, hanging himself off a cliff. That's according to the Bible. But they needed somebody to replace him. So what did they do? You can read this in the book of Acts. They took two men who had been with Jesus Christ just like the other 12 throughout the entirety of his ministry before he was murdered. And they drew straws as to which one would fill that vacancy. Because they were both qualified because they both had witnessed all the evidence. Now, isn't that something? That's the very same thing we do today. We impanel 12 jurors, and then we impanel two alternates to sit through the whole trial in case one or two of the jurors get sick or something dies or something happens, then we've got an alternate that has listened to all the evidence. But of course, if none of the jurors have to bow out, the alternates after the trial are sent home. They're not needed anymore because the jury will then go ahead and deliberate and they can do the job. That's the same thing that happened. Our jury form follows the pattern that Jesus Christ set forth. Well, so when you're serving on the jury, don't think this is some small matter. As I said, it only exists in a common law country like ours. There are only about five or six common law countries. And this is ordained of God himself. And he has given, the Father has given all authority, as the Bible says, to the Son. And the Son has said these things. The law deems these three votes, and I use the word vote loosely, as I said, it's a word of majority principle. But your action as a juror is priceless. And these verdicts of jurors are non-negotiable. Non-negotiable, that means you can't sell them. They can't be trafficked. And what you do as a juror can't be bought and it can't be sold. Nevertheless, the power of these votes is not the same. As I'd said, the only two of these three votes, your vote as a grand juror, or a petit juror, a trial jury, gives or refuses direct consent to the government to act or not to act against another. And by contrast, your vote in an election for government officials, being widespread and watered down, is speculative and weak. It controls no government action at all. Listen to me close. Your vote to send somebody to office controls no government action at all. It just sends somebody to office, and then the control is there, and who knows what they're going to do. But when you're on the jury, as a grand juror or a trial juror, your vote controls the action of the prosecutor, or the action of government. That's an important distinction. Accordingly, evil men never stop drawing attention away from your two most powerful votes. Your two most powerful votes as a juror, a grand juror, and a petit juror, by focusing your attention on your right to vote in elections for local, state, and federal officials. And this is the most visible, the most hyped up, but clearly the weakest of these three votes. These three, their verdicts, what you've decided. Well, of course, then add to that all the fraud. You don't know who wins elections anymore. I think that's abundantly clear after this last election, so-called presidential election. Hillary was confident she would win because she thought she had the fraud wrapped up. Lest we forget. Do you remember all the reports of the discoveries of fraud? I can tell you for a fact, I ran for Congress, and I watched with other people in Wabash County, I watched vanloads of union members being bussed in from the coal mines in neighboring counties to vote against me. They weren't even hiding it. That was commonplace. That's been 25 years ago. That was commonplace then. When Kennedy was elected, he won by 20,000 votes. That's a pinch in a presidential election. And every one of them was from the graveyards in Chicago. The votes were delivered by the mob in Chicago. They could deliver them too. And Mayor Daley, he had the power to do it. And he did it. But that's nothing, and people were up in arms about that, and they should have been. But that's nothing compared to what's happening now. It's so out of control, so over the top, it's without limit at this point, what's happening in elections. Well, thank you very much, Gerard. I'll turn it over to you and appreciate you providing me a little time to talk. And Gerard will be
okay, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you good, Gerard. You're clear.
Okay, thank you very much. So just bear with me, I got to change my mic over. Okay. All right, so kind of got interrupted on that movie. I lost my my mic somehow. So, but you got the gist of what he was saying. I hope that you got most of it. I don't need to replay it. But just hang on a minute. I have another screen I want to send to you guys. Over
here. Do you have a backup for your speakers for us to hear?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, but when you were playing that video, did you have your mic up by the speaker so we can hear it, or were you playing through the system?
All right, well, can you see my screen right now?
We can see your screen. I think there is a way you can upload it to play, but go ahead, try it.
Well, I don't need to play this a lot. I'm putting this up here because, in my estimation...
Give us a full screen now.
All right, well, the reason I didn't give you a full screen is I want everybody to copy this name down here. Dr. Shiva Andrura, Exposing Big Pharma and these Hospitals and Vaccines. Either that or you got to go on Yogi Body Fitness on YouTube and find this video. Because even though even if you go on Shiva's site, you won't see this video because this wasn't his video. This was Stefan Molyneux interviewing him. So you have to go on Yogi Body Fitness to find it. Very excellent video. He goes over the whole gamut of the virus from the scientific to the political. I mean, it is like the most complete explanation, and he's so good. He talks about what Brent talked about, how you can't catch a virus, how it's the result and not the cause. He goes into so much stuff, why you're going to get false positives with their tests. And then he goes into the politics with Bill Gates and Fauci and this other one. And he also talks about how we have junk science today, how all this peer review stuff is basically designed to keep the status quo. It's like a communist method. In other words, you got to go out and get other peers to say you're right. So if you go against the grain, you're never going to get your stuff in. And basically, he runs through what they did to lock down the medical science and turn it over to the big pharma. And I mean, once you hear this, boy, will you be ticked off. And here, if I give you the full screen here, the only thing is you're going to just see their faces. I don't want to play this. This is quite a long video. It's over an hour. Look, it's an hour and 23. Hour and a half.
Yeah, we can still see their names, too, so.
Right. But on YouTube, you want to poke this in, and then it'll come right up. If you copy this right here and put it into the YouTube, go to YouTube and put this in the search bar, everybody's got to listen to this. Because, and he talks about how breathing into a mask, like what Brent said, will just reinfect you, you know, because you're breathing the stuff out. It's supposed to come out. It's not supposed to go into a mask and then sit there and grow so that you can breathe it back in stronger than it was when you breathed it out, right? I mean, it's kind of, if you think about it, it's common sense, you know. And he also talks about vitamin D, vitamin A. He also talks about how the ventilator, if you go on a ventilator, it's pretty much a death sentence because it's pushing in this air that the lungs can't take, and that, you know, it's a last resort. And you're better off taking oxygen in and doing high dosage intravenous vitamin C. Oh my goodness, the doctors should fall over. And they, you see, Big Pharma does not want that because it's a death toll. He says one of the reasons that you're getting this mandated vaccine through Bill Gates and Fauci and this BRICS is because if you listen to the method it takes to get a drug approved, you got to spend billions of dollars to get it to market, billions. And then you got to charge so much money to make it back. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely, I mean, you almost can see why the drug companies are doing what they're doing, you know, because of this double blind placebo study that they do in peer reviews and, you know, and the different stage one, stage two, and stage up to stage 4 before you get a patent on the medicine. By the time you get the patent on the medicine, you only got like 6 years. It's a 20-year patent. And by the time you actually go through all the phases of the studies and all that stuff, you got like 6 years to make your money back that you spend on it up front. So the only one that can run a medicine through, and don't forget, everything that they're putting in our bodies, that they're giving us to take to heal us, none of it occurs naturally in nature. Because if it did, you couldn't patent it. So they're going to put compounds in your body that don't occur anywhere. We don't find them anywhere in nature, and they're going to use that to heal us. First of all, it's your immune system that heals you, and that's what he talks about. How do you build the immune system? He goes into the AIDS fallacy, that AIDS virus causes AIDS. It absolutely does not. There's millions and millions and maybe even hundreds of millions of people in the world that have the AIDS virus in their body right now, and they don't have AIDS. But you got to listen to this video because you got to educate yourself. And that way there, when somebody comes to you and like when your doctor wants you to take a flu shot, or they want to mandate a vaccine for you so you can fly or you can go to the store or anything, at least you'll know what you're talking about. We need to sound intelligence. And then he also has places like that guy wants you to go sign the petition there. And so he's got things he'll tell you what to do. But anyway, I don't want to spend too much time. It's getting a little late, and I'd like to get to our questions. I think I took enough time, but look at now's the time. This thing is going to revert overnight to your county level. And if you're not talking to your sheriff and you're not building yourself up a team of people in your county, you're going to be alone. You're going to fight it alone. You can't fight it alone. Just like John says, you can't go up against the IRS alone. Your community has to fight this. It has to be the community. It has to be the local government and the county government. You need to start talking. You need to start getting out there, and you guys need to start yelling and screaming and writing and calling and building up, you know, a force of people. Look at committees of safety. That's what they're about. Committees of correspondence. You know, our forefathers did it. They did it while the English were in their homes. They were boarding troops in every home to spy on the people, to keep them in line, and they had to do committees of safety. Well, I tell you right now, they're spying on you right now. You don't even know it. They could turn your phone, your smartphone's speaker on and off at will. They know what we're talking about. If you're a person of interest, they zone right in on you. You know, look, you got governors saying we're going to use a cell phone to make sure that you're social distancing, and if you're going out on non-essential business, we're going to come get you. When did that happen? You know, everybody should have wrote that governor and said, look, I got bullets here with your name on it, and any of your people that dress up under the color of law to come get me. We're gonna resist, because you don't have the right to say that. I hope that Trump goes after every one of these governors that have ever made that statement, because that is a statement whose power they do not have under the Constitution.
Remember, the committee of safety, most committeemen, everyone become committee men, and they got far more power than they had when they were committees of safety.
That's right, because you can control who you're putting in there, and they're gonna care about what you say. You know, I'm gonna stop the screen.
When the committee men call an individual that's been elected to speak to them, they get all both ears, and they will listen and they will respond. That's the power of the committeeman.
Right. So let me get back to my controls. I got to clear out my screen here. I got so much garbage open. Hang on a minute. Let's see. It's over here. Okay. It looks like we got 6 or 7 people on the question and answer. So without further ado, I have a first person in there.
Yeah, if we're going to get everybody in, we're going to want to try to limit people to a couple of minutes and
Yeah, so do your most important question, you know. We got like six people so far if nobody else gets in. So let's keep it brief and let's not go on from question after question. So just pick your most important thing and we'll do that and then we'll move to the next person, okay? I appreciate it. So I'm gonna unmute Anonymous here and give us your name, your first name, and your state. Well, was that you, John?
Well, there was someone there called Anonymous. I don't know what happened.
Let me try Barbara.
Did you click the X? Did you click the X maybe accidentally?
No, I didn't. I got Barbara open now. Anonymous disappeared. So if there's somebody, let them get back in. Yeah, go ahead. Who's this, Barbara?
Hi. Yeah, Barbara from New York. Hi. Thank
hey,
you,
how
Gerard.
You doing?
Hi. Good. I was really taken by the piece that you played. I was amazed because you're storing so much food, and I wanted to ask, what is the excuse given for destroying so much food?
The excuse is that because of the shutdown, they have the food, but the terminals are shut. They're shutting them down because they're calling them non-essential or whatever they're doing. They're not shipping them somehow. There's a bottleneck that has something to do with, you know, and what the each state is doing with their lockdown. You know, you got to, every store is different. Every state is different. Every city is different. Nobody's doing the same thing. I've been around in this Hudson Valley area, and some of them are very strict, and some of them are almost non-existent. You know, so we run the gamut over here. But a lot of, you know, when Walmart has to count how many customers come in the store, what do you think that does? It cuts sales down. And if you cut sales, why do you think gasoline went to negative? They were paying people to take it away because nobody's driving, nobody's going to work. And they got they got all this material coming in that they, you know, you can't shut a refinery down and just start it up. That stuff that is in the refinery pipes, it'll turn hard as a rock. It needs to be heated. It needs to keep going. So they have to keep making gasoline, even if they dump it on the ground, because if they shut it down, it'll take them months to get it back up running. And this guy's saying the same thing with the food. Look, you're going to see food prices go up. I don't care what Donald Trump does. When you destroy crops and you destroy – he's talking about they want to destroy the feeder cattle. The fattened cattle that are ready for slaughter.
Do we know who's calling? Is this the governor's telling what's going on with this?
This the state sent a memo.
So the governor is responsible for doing this.
Well, what the guy's saying is that there's a bottleneck and they can't get the stuff out.
Yeah, but someone's preventing that from happening. I noticed that was one of the first things that went right with the Lysol. You couldn't get meat. Couldn't even buy hot dogs, bacon, nothing. I mean, I don't buy much meat from the store because I go to a slaughterhouse.
They closed the packing plants down. They closed the packing plants.
Yeah, but who did that?
The governors.
That governor needs to be indicted. What state is that in?
To stop Iowa from, they're going to check all the meat in the Smith something plant in Iowa, the really big. They say Iowa's responsible for like a third of the meat of the whole country or something.
Right.
And then they said, there's all these cases in the meat packing plants in Iowa. We've got to send in the National Guard and have them check the meat. And so, they're going to come out and say, it's infected. We got to shut it down. I mean, that's what I heard, that they were sending them out to check it.
It's all a lie.
Yeah, well, you know, look at the president needs, not president, but actually Attorney General Barr needs to go after this governor who's doing this, because that's cutting off the supply of the people. Yeah, I notice it's
starving us.
Problem is you got these pseudoscientists telling them that you're going to catch this stuff, that it's on surfaces, this and that. You know, the other day when Donald Trump was going, you know, can we use light? Can we do this or can we do that? And they said, he sounded so stupid. No.
Yeah.
He was revealing these technologies that they've been suppressing for years. And he's asking Fauci and Bricks, have you heard of that? He was needling them. Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could put ultraviolet light through the skin or whatever it was, UV. Yeah, you can. And he knows they're doing it, and they showed him. And then he said, I seen a disinfectant. It kills it within seconds. He was talking about MMS. But look, I don't want to go
but
too
yeah, long. Yeah, he said, how about doing something like that? The word like is really being missed in this whole thing. With that disinfectant. But just a note here, you know, I just ordered 50 pounds of hamburger meat. Usually when I call the slaughterhouse, a couple of times up for me, and I order meat like that, they usually, come up, pick it up tomorrow morning or the next day. 2 weeks waiting, so a lot of people, I guess, are going to the slaughterhouse.
Or they're not getting the material in.
Well, no, he raises his own cattle.
Oh, okay.
So this is local meat. This guy probably supplies most of the restaurants locally in the county and the surrounding counties.
That's the only reason we ran out of toilet paper, only because people were hoarding it. You know, if you normally go out and you buy one package of toilet paper, then you go in, you're scared, and you buy 10 or 15.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be able to keep up with that. You know, today they have what's called just-in-time shipping. So nobody puts anything on the shelf anymore because the government charges you for the stock on your shelves. You're supposed to do inventory. So right away they learned how to, like, keep the stock off. So that's why we have nothing on our shelves, because they've trimmed it down to nothing, just in time shipping, and
That must be an IRS requirement, though. Huh?
Well, it's also sales tax, and I don't know. There's a lot.
Yeah, but you know what's on their shelves? Come on, I mean.
What's on the shelves? Exactly. If it's on the shelves for so many days, then they have to take inventory and they got to pay tax on it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, 16 minutes, by the way.
They don't want to keep stuff on the shelf. And they got computer programs to prevent it. If it gets ordered twice, then they put it on the shelf. If it sits there for a month, then when it's sold, they don't reorder it. It's all in a computer program. But anyway, Barbara, I'm going to move on. We got a couple people. We don't have that much time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, Jay from North Carolina. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Gerard. A couple things. I was just going to ask you one thing, but now that you've brought up all this shit, I need to mention a couple things. Anyways, can you send me a link to that video? I'm driving right now, and I can't see a screen, or I can't... can you send me a link to that video?
To Dr. Shiva's? Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw that guy on Facebook that you were playing earlier, and I listened to the whole thing on Facebook. But what's happening is the packing plants are getting COVID cases, and they're closing them down. That happened to our local packing plant in Sioux Falls. And so if they get a couple cases of COVID-19 in there, they close the plant. Well, now the stockyards are full of cattle. They're giving away feeder pigs. They were gonna kill all the rest of them that they couldn't give away right at the stockyard. There's more coming on the way, but the packing plant's closed.
No kidding. So can I go pick a cow up?
Hey, a buddy of mine just went and got 27 pigs, 27 feeder pigs, huge 300-pound pigs given to him.
He
went down there with a horse trailer. Yeah, you probably could.
I don't want pigs, though. I want beef.
You probably could for free. Check out a packing plant that gets shut down and call them and ask them. I bet they would.
Look, this is an opportunity. You go down and you buy these cows, and if you know somebody that has pasture, you stick them on the pasture and grass feed them all summer, and then butcher them this fall. You'll be good to go. There you go.
The milk. They were controlling how many gallons of milk you could get. You could only get 1 gallon of milk. And the milk producers are having to dump all this milk, and they're not even allowed to donate it to anybody. They just got to go out in the field and dump it.
Right. So ridiculous.
And about the inventory tax, I know companies that load everything they got in their truck in their warehouse into a truck and ship it across the country, 10 truckloads of crap, ship it across the country, and then get to the other end of the country and then ship it right back. They don't even take it off your truck. They just, you back in the door and then they change the bills and then you take off and come back. Because it's cheaper to ship it across the country than it is to pay the inventory tax.
Yeah, well, these are all things we need to fix. It's all so dysfunctional. And wait until you watch that movie and you hear about the process of Big Pharma with the ridiculous stuff that they're doing. You know, it's so terrible.
Well, if you can send me a link to that, either I'll give you my phone number, or you can get my phone number, or I can give you my email.
Is this 828 number something that text to?
Yep, text. Yep.
Okay, so I'll copy that.
Or my email is punkasscat.
Punkasscat, yeah, I should have it, but.
Yeah, you should have it.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Very good.
Thanks.
Thank
sir.
You. Yep, stay safe. We'll be talking.
Yep.
Okay, we got Drew from Pennsylvania. You're on the horn. Go ahead. Hello? Did not get him or what? Drew from Pennsylvania.
Drew.
Drew.
Yeah.
Are you there?
570 number. You got the mic.
Yes.
Going once, going twice.
Fuck, Jay, what the fuck? Get a call right where I'm going to fucking get in.
Oh, who's that? Yeah, there you go.
I think that was Drew.
Okay, all that being said, I'm going to jump to David from North Carolina. How's that?
It's David from PA,
okay,
you mean.
That's good. Have you got me on the horn?
Yes.
Okay, great. That's Dave Russ from Charlotte,
PA.
North Carolina. I'm going to ask one question, and that is there any way that I can get the information that I need to go to my sheriff?
Well, look, we have a lot of information. We have the sheriff book that you could print off of our site, the book that we had mailed to them, which is a good book. You know, but we also, if you go on there, we have a plan of what you need to do, and you should try to go with more than one person.
Yeah, listen, if you're gonna try to approach your sheriff and you want to really do the good work and do it right, you got to organize your county. And if you want to help organizing your county, get a hold of your district leader. If you don't know who it is, we'll be posting a page with the names in the districts soon. But if you don't know who that is, just get a hold of Jan at National Liberty Alliance. And he'll tap you in. But it is extremely important that when your first time you go to your sheriff that you do it properly. We are literally writing a booklet on how to approach and talk to the sheriff. But you hold on a minute. First of all, what you want to do is get some people organized, get some meetings going, and accumulate a certain amount of knowledge and start the process of building your militia. Even if it's only a couple of people, building a militia, getting organized for the committee men, taking control of the courts, and we're teaching people to do all of those things on the grassroots. And then once you're organized somewhat and you have some resolutions and stuff, we're helping people set up the resolutions for their counties and everything, and then you approach the sheriff. You want to do it in an organized way, and you want to do it in a powerful way. And when the sheriff connects with you, he understands what you're doing, and he sees the power of what you're doing and the authority of what you're doing. But right now, if you approach him, you know, I don't know how much you're going to get out of him. We have approached all the sheriffs in the United States, and we didn't get much luck with them yet.
We've got five good men right here in this little town that's ready to do that, ready to go and have a talk with him.
Then, but let's get organized first, though. Are you going to organize your county? Are you going to get things going for the committeemen? You're going to have meetings and bring in new people and getting the militia going and getting all the things necessary. You know, organize your county. Get the power.
I would like I'd like to be able to tell you, yes, we're going to do that, but that's easier said than done.
Well, it starts off with just the phone calls and working on the phones. Look, at if you go to the website, okay, we lay out the plan on how to organize your county under people's duty, okay, and you click on organize your county. I'll share my screen for that in a minute, and hopefully, but that's where you go. A lot of information.
Look, at David, have those five people go on the website and look at that material and become familiar with it. And I would also, you know, I would print those sheriff's book out because that's good information for the sheriff.
Okay. I don't know if you see the, my browser right now. It's under People's Duty, Organize Your County, and here's where it starts. And this is what you want to do. To really start it, you need four people. You got five. You're ready to rock and roll and get a meeting going. Okay?
That's right.
So you get your first meeting going, invite people. Go to all the Tea Party groups that are around, the Ron Paul groups that are around, any Liberty group that's around. You know, there's all kinds of different Liberty groups. Gun owners, all different places. You know, go to Hunters. They'll respond. Go to the local people, get them involved. You can get 20 or 30 people into a meeting with five people running that meeting, and if you run the meeting the way we're laying it out, you will start to bring people into the game, into the county, working together to do what has to be done. Right, here is the plan. Okay, organizing your county.
We have a right to assemble. So
organizing your county, that's over in National Liberty Alliance.
Right,
website.
NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Highlight People's Duty. I'm highlighting it right now, People's Duty. First one on the list, organize your county. Click on that, come down, click on organize your county, and this is the page, and it gives you all of the stuff. We got videos you can take and download. Introduction to National Liberty Alliance is the first one. It lays out National Liberty Alliance's plan. It's the longest video we have. I think it's 55 minutes long, 54 minutes. But it covers everything. Talks about the militia. Talks about all the things we have to do. Taking back our courts. Taking back our political process. Organizing. Connecting with the sheriff. Bringing this whole package together. That's where you start with that meeting, with that one.
I'll go along with that. And I want to say this one thing. You can go back to 1968, and there was a serious case in Minnesota. It was called the Credit River Decision. You've probably heard of it. But at any rate, that Credit River Decision has not been overturned to this day, and it was a common law court in the back of a general store in Minnesota with 12 jury persons.
That's interesting.
And, well, in a rural area and way back when, yeah, I could see that taking place. You know, you got the circuit judge comes around eventually and so on and so forth, that kind of thing. But going back to organizing, we're going to do a video, you know, for your first meeting when you bring the sheriff in. We'll do a special video for that, and that would be the video you play. We'd want to keep it short, maybe, I don't know, 20 minutes to a half hour max. And then we're also writing a paper, okay? It's not going to be a book. I think I said a handbook or a booklet or something, but it's not going to be that. It's going to be a paper on how to approach the sheriff and the plan on bringing and wooing the sheriff into what you're doing and then the sheriff will realize what you're doing is, A, number very lawful, B, it should have been done a long time ago, and see that it's all about the Constitution and that they have to listen to you, that, hey, you are the constituents and you are the people involved in your county and laying it out that you're the posse comitatus for him. You need help. We're the ones to call. Look, it's got to be done correctly and slowly, because if you do it wrong and this sheriff gets a little nervous of the group and contacts a lawyer, you know, the lawyer's going to say, stay away from these people. Because they're minions in the New World Order. That's what they're trained to do. And you won't even get them, maybe. You know, who knows?
Look, at any chance they get, if they're a real liberal county or whatever, or your sheriff's not educated, they'll label you sovereign citizens. That's what they'll do. And one of the ways to help prevent that is to have meetings and have people assemble and invite the sheriff. That's what we did in our county. We used to invite the sheriff in. And we were very, very active in the committee man system. He made sure he got there right away because he understood we were the active people in the county, and he's an elected official. Look, they're a political animal, like it or not. That's why they're the top cop, because they're elected. So they're looking for constituents. I mean, we had two or three counties that come together, and my county sheriff, when he was there, he was pretty slick. He'd say, how many people are from you know, Greene County? How many, you know, and he'd take a tally of who was there in his county, because he knows, you know, he doesn't want to tick off the people in his own county. So if you can get people from that sheriff's county at your meetings, and then you know, a group of those people, I mean, you don't need 20 or 30 of them, but a group of three or four or even five to go to his office and approach him and maybe even invite him to one of your meetings, you know.
People need to be educated, though, and prepared. You really need to approach the sheriff properly. You really do. And again, you know, we've talked with enough sheriffs, and we've heard stories of approaching other sheriffs. You know, we had a sheriff across the river from here, from me in Orange County, who was on the radio program all the time, and he was just bashing NLA to no way to Sunday. I mean, just destroying us on the radio station. And we didn't even have opportunity to communicate that with these people. But this sheriff knew nothing about who we were, what we were doing. He was caught, his ear has been caught by the bar or lawyers and the people that he was involved with at the radio station or whatever. And so that's kind of a problem. And you got to be careful to approach him properly. Let's get educated. Let's get organized. And like I said, if you got five people, you're almost there. You can have one or two meetings, and you can be well organized enough to approach the sheriff. And I'm sure by that time we will have the plan written up. Again, it's one of the things we are working on. We'll have the plan written up, and we'll have a special video for when the sheriff comes. As a matter of fact, you know, we have different videos already that we could probably show.
You know, everything you said makes perfect sense. There's one other thing I want to mention. And that is, I know for a fact that the sheriffs are supposed to take a constitutional oath. Is that correct?
Well, that's true. And Trump's talking about requiring them to learn what that oath is about. So they need to learn the Constitution, is what Trump is saying now.
Okay. If they've taken a constitutional oath, then they are bound to know that they're outside of the Constitution.
They haven't got a clue. They rely on lawyers. After all, the lawyer knows. They're putting everything into a lawyer. They have no clue that the lawyer doesn't believe in common law. The lawyer doesn't believe in that Constitution. The lawyer believes in civil law. I mean, these are bar tort lawyers, I mean. Not all lawyers. There are some lawyers who are not bar tort and do know what's going on, and they're troubled by it. And I'm sure there are even bar lawyers that have scratched their head because they're actually people who really are interested in researching, and they're saying that this is BS. What are we doing under civil law? We can't be under civil law. We have a constitution. They can't change the civil law by rule. Rule 2 changes the civil law. Go figure that one out.
There you go.
So anyway, my point is this. Look at, you're only going to get one good shot with the sheriff. Let's do it right. Let's make a plan, and let us go through the process correctly, have the knowledge to be able to talk with them, and have the ability to produce and lay out a program of what you're doing and who you people are all about and what you believe. You know, again, we're going to put videos together. We do have some videos of sheriffs that are constitutional and understand, and they speak, and we've got videos of them people speaking. You know, let's let sheriffs talk to sheriffs. So we'll create a video with that to begin with, and then we'll do a video, short video connected to it, also with the NLA plan and what we're about, without getting into too many details, because we've got to keep this video short, maybe a half hour, and that would be the video to play the day that the sheriff comes.
Okay.
We had the added benefit of having like a retired captain in the state troopers that was part of our group, who was also a guy that was moved and shook in the Oath Keepers Foundation. If you can get people like that,
right? Oath Keepers are great to get a hold of for this too. Yeah.
Well, you know, law enforcement officials know how to talk to law enforcement officials. So there's plenty of them retired out there, and they know the lingo, and those are the guys you want to like kind of get in your group. That just makes life so much easier for you if you got that kind of that person, because he breaks the ice well, and they're not going to accuse him of being a sovereign citizen. You know what I'm saying? So it just cuts through all the crap right up front. So that's just a little piece of advice. If you can get retired law enforcement and military, but law enforcement in particular, it'll make your life a lot easier.
Okay, what I would really appreciate you doing is it asking too much if you'd go on my Facebook account and look at some of the stuff that I've posted?
No, but you gotta give me you gotta send me the URL. I'll do it if you send me the URL. Send an email to this, so I can get the Facebook thing.
Send the email to who?
Gerard at National Liberty Alliance.
Right.
Gerard at National Liberty Alliance.
Right.
Okay.
.org at the end, .com, .org.
.org. Okay. All right, I'll do that tonight.
Okay. And what's the title of the email? I'm going to say David? How am I going to know it's you? I get so much stuff in there, I don't know.
It's Davy Crockett, DavieCrockett.
There
underscore.
You go. So that I'll recognize.
Okay. We all know Davy Crockett. Yep.
Davy Crockett. He was my favorite after Daniel Boone. No. Okay.
Well, the congressman, Davy Crockett, is the one I had in mind, the one that stopped at the hedgerow with the farmer plowing the field.
Oh, yeah, with the money. Yeah, I remember that story.
Is that the one where he told them where he was going, but they can go to another place? Is that the one? Or was that the Boone?
He said, I just want to tell you what a nice-looking field you got here, and I appreciate seeing you plow this field, and my name is Crockett, Davy Crockett, and I'm a congressman. I'm headed to Washington, and what do you think about what's been going on? He says, I don't care much for what's going on up there. He says, y'all got burned out in New York not too long ago, and before I knew it, you had decided that me and all my family and all the people of this county had to pay for that. And he says, I'm just against it.
Because they were going to vote money for some.
Well, it was when New York got burned out.
Oh.
Yeah, New York got burned out, and it was a terrible thing, when that happened. There's no doubt about it.
What year was that in?
Oh, it's been a long time ago.
That was when Davy Crockett was walking.
Wasn't he from Kentucky?
Yes, he was.
Wasn't he the one that was in Congress, and he got so fed up with him, he says, me, I'm going to Kentucky. You guys can go to hell. Isn't that the one that said it?
Yeah, something like that.
I may be paraphrasing a little bit. I use the proper words, though, that he used. But
it was another congressman the wife died, and they wanted to take money and give her a donation. And he stood up and said, that's not our job. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, if you want to give her a donation, take it out of your own pay. And boy,
that's exactly
wanted to do it then. But anyway, I don't want to keep going.
They didn't learn anything from that, Gerard.
Yeah.
They didn't learn a thing from it.
Right.
And that's a shame.
Yeah.
They want to take it out of our pockets.
Yeah. Okay, it's after 12, so we got to move.
Even if it's funny money, they still want it. You have to work just as hard for funny money as you would lawful money, but nevertheless, they want what you got. If you got any kind of wealth whatsoever, they want it.
That's right. Okay, let me hit next. I'll see if I can get done here really quick. Thanks a lot, David. I'm going to go, and I'll look for your email, okay?
Okay, good night.
Oh, looks like we got Jay again. Are you in there? Were you, Jay?
Yeah.
You're up.
Yeah. I was wondering, listening to that, I was wondering, do we have a guidebook on how to start a constitutional militia?
Yeah, it's on the website, How to Organize Your County. It talks about the militia and the sheriff and all that, what John just went through.
Yeah, we do. We have all that stuff. Look, we have a militia course now, Jay. So you could take the militia course. We have that booklet available. You know, that's a book written by Brent Winters, and it's available. You can click on the side of our website, and you can get his handbook. And I think it's only a couple of bucks for his handbook, maybe $5 or something, I don't know. But you can get his handbook, and of course, you can take the course. The course is the handbook, so you can get a lot of that, and then you can get a copy of the handbook. And also, again, we have a plan on organizing the militia, how to go about doing it. There's two sides of the militia. We'll start off with the unorganized militia, and amongst those people will be people who are interested in organizing the militia, being part of the organized militia. And we want to do it from the grassroots to regrow the militia so that it comes up, and when it reaches a certain level and there's a certain criteria that has to be met, and we're going to lay all that out. We may have a lot of this stuff already laid out already. But, you know, there's a criteria that needs to be met, and at some point then that group can approach the governor and let it be known that we're here and we are the militia, and when you need it, this is us. We're the guys. This National Guard thing is a whole different story. That's a federal thing. It's all there's too many problems with that. They're not organized correctly. They're not totally controlled by governors, and it's problematic. And Brent can probably fill in a lot better than I can on those things.
They got a state guard too, John.
They should have a look at. That's controlled by the governor, right?
That's the closest thing we have to a militia, the state guard, and that's you. Of the guys that I've met around here, they're all pretty much retired military guys that are now in the state guard, and they're organized, you know, but they're under the governor. In other words, they're not the militia. They do the bidding of the governor.
Yeah, but they're not the true militia until three different entities can pull them in. One would be the sheriff through Posse Comitatus. They need to be available to him. The second, of course, would be the governor because he's the executive of the state if he needs to pull them in. And then, of course, the president can also call them. So if they're not available to all three powers, then they're not the militia at all to begin with, and that's a major flaw right off the start.
Yeah, I don't know. They call them the state guard.
Yeah, well,
I
not
think the governor is the only one that has control over them, so it's something that they created, you know.
Well, once a state finally organizes a bona fide militia, they can suck in the people that were a part of the National Guard in their neighborhoods and bring them into the game, and they probably would come in to get involved. Mm-hmm. After all, look at, they sent the National Guard, our quote-unquote militia, so they claim, they sent those people who are here to protect our land, and that was their purpose, and that was in their minds, and what did they do? They sent them over to the Middle East, okay? Yep. And they decimated them to a large degree. I mean, that was evil stuff. And you know, the high rankers were complaining about that, and they would just shut up. But they'll continue to do these things as long as the people decide not to have government by consent, because right now that's their decision. The people have decided to not have government by consent because they're not doing it. And if they want it, step up. Let's organize your county. Let's get government by consent.
Hey, that was a National Guardsman that went to his superiors and refused to disarm the people in Louisiana. It was one National Guardsman that got his whole, you know, that was talking about it and went to his commander, and then all the guys got courage when they were disarming people after Katrina. Just a little side thing.
And I was going to say, let's get Drew before we leave. Drew, if you want to get the mic, get back into the queue, we'll give you the mic and we'll be ready to shut down in a few.
Yeah, you guys, I've been all over the country since this whole thing has started. I haven't stopped, you know. We don't have to follow logbooks anymore or anything.
Well, imagine that. Yeah, there's a certain amount of freedom since this started, you know, that it's been kind of nice.
In my life has changed. There's a little bit of less traffic out my windshield, but Nothing in my life has changed. I've been working harder.
Except you don't need logbooks. You can drive forever. That's different.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to worry about your state inspections in New York because they put a stop on them until this thing is over, so you can drive around with no inspection.
Really? Is that what they do? I got a ticket for that.
Yeah.
Well, that's only as of March, John.
Well, I just got a ticket. I got it in April.
Your sticker had to be done in March, though. Your sticker's probably a year.
I'm going to Kentucky. You know where he can go? I'm going to Kentucky.
When did you get the ticket?
I got it maybe, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. I'm not paying it, though. This is one I'm taking to federal court because I'm tired of it. I can't get a sticker.
Just go in and see the judge and say, look, I heard that there was
I'm not giving him authority over me. No, I'm not doing it. Once I start talking to him about the case and I acquiesce to him, he feels he can take authority over me. I'm not letting him have authority over me.
You gave him authority over you when you registered your car and you got it inspected in the first place.
No, they boxed me into that. I didn't participate with that. There was no meeting of the minds. I don't care. You know my plan here.
Fact of the matter is that when you got that ticket, there was a moratorium on inspection. As far as you know,
let me tell you. I can't get an inspection because my damn light, even though it's off, you know what's going on. I got three or four inconclusive.
Now you just admitted it on national airwaves, so now you just lost your defense.
Well, I'm not governed by statutes. I could admit to anything that will break. I break a lot of statutes. You want me to list out some more?
Well,
I have a heavy foot on my right pedal foot there, you know?
I'll just tell you the interesting thing is that 15 states have killed their inspection program, and apparently there's a group of law lawyers or somebody that knows the law, and they study the tickets that the cops give, and they know how many registered cars there are in the state, and when there gets to a certain level of inspection sticker tickets, they push this thing through the state legislature, and they say you have to kill the program because when you get up to like let's say 50% non-compliance, they say the people have spoken, so they've nullified that law, and they've had 15 states do that because they had so many inspection sticker tickets. The lawyers were able to go to court and say, look, people have spoken, they're not complying with this for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. It's like how they got rid of prohibition. It's the people have spoken. They've nullified the law. You need to get rid of it. So I don't know what they're going to do about that, but New York was letting a lot of people go, and I think it was because of that, because they had so many, they were getting afraid that group was going to come over here and knock that. You know, they make a lot of money on their inspection program. So anyway, it's just nice to know that nullification is still alive. Well, I guess it's time to close. Oh, Drew came back in. I'm sorry. Let me open. Let me get Drew in there real quick. Go ahead, Drew. You there? Can you hear us?
John.
Yeah.
Okay, you can hear me. Good. I wanted to tell you that the rally on the 20th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, we organized, and there was probably over 1,000 people there. A lot did have long guns and, you know, redressing their grievances. And we're having another one Friday, May Day. It's going to be called Freedom Friday, May Day call to reopen business. So we're promoting that now.
Good.
All right. Well, that's what the people have to do, get out there and do it. But well, let's get together and get your counties organized. That's the key, and meet every month and get involved, you know?
I talked to you several times about the issue I had with the courts, a wife and divorce and all that stuff, and I'm still fighting that, and going to sue the county, sue the judge and everything else. I'm working on that now. I did want to tell you that we did have meetings here, and I was starting a chapter of Oath Keepers, and my wife took that over, so I can't be involved with that now because she's involved with that chapter, the Oath Keepers, which they would be good involved with this, especially for the militia cause.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you do want to try to ruin the Oath Keepers into your group and particular militia. Look, if you guys can't talk that well and you're kind of separated that much that you won't go there, well, when you invite those people to your group for what's going on, which is, you know, you're really looking at everything to organize the county, it's not an Oath Keepers meeting, well, maybe she won't come.
Well, that's what I want, because she's been involved with the NLA with me, the Oath Keepers, Campaign for Liberty, and several different groups. As a matter of fact, I met you guys up at Norm's Pizza in Wilkes-Barre when you were in.
Okay.
With Doreen, you probably know Doreen and them, you know, that too, and mm-hmm. John Villaboto and all that too. We're all up there together. But at any rate, I would like to do that and organize here for the militia. We have had, you know, we've been having some meetings for quite some time, and you guys, you know, we've been involving ourselves with the NLA and all that. But I'd like everybody to get the word out for May 1st all across the country, every state capital. That's what we need.
Right. I agree.
All right, John. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
All right. Thanks, Drew. I guess with that, we close down.
I guess. Hey, John, is May 1st the 40th day of the declaration of that Trump did the emergency?
I don't know.
Yeah, because somebody was saying that they thought Trump was going to open it up on the 40th day, which I thought was going to be May 1st, but I'll have to check into that.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, thank you, everybody, and see you next week, same time, same channel. God bless. And let's get moving. It's very important. Okay, good night.
Good night.